Here I am. This is Extraterrestrial Radio, and it's open lines tonight. You know what that means. It's going to be trouble, I'm sure. Anyway, who cares? It'll be fun. Listen, we found our own number nine. Well, it's not number nine. Somebody sent me a picture. I hope he got credit of this artifact on the moon with a big red arrow pointed to it. On the moon, on Mars. And I thought, you know, yeah, that's no number nine, but could be a six or a seven. Number six or seven. Anyway, it's at artbell.com if you want to go take a look. It is pretty weird. I mean, there is a lot of weird stuff on Mars that you just can't account for unless you say, old Russian mission, something like that. All right, the ghost photographs are starting to post. That's right, Keith is slaving over hot mist. Remember, we've got a contest, folks. A pretty good contest, I would say, too. SiriusXM's donating a brand new radio and a one-year subscription to SiriusXM. That's no minor matter. And it goes to the person with the best ghost photograph as judged by the audience, all of you. It's all about all of you. You will decide who gets it. Huh. I just figured out how somebody out there could... Anyway. good luck. If you've got a good ghost photograph, I mean, we're looking for the best. So send the best. Send it to webmaster at artbell.com. That's where the ghost photographs go. Thousands of them, I hope. Not really for Keith's sake. Send it to webmaster at artbell.com. And for ghost stories, we are going to have Spooky Matter on Halloween night. And if you have a good ghost story, and when I say good ghost story, I mean I want to be scared. Okay? So that takes a good story. But I have been scared on it. Several years we did this, and it scared me. So anyway, send me a little, you know, kind of encapsulated version, if you would please, of your ghost story in email. And include, if you would please, your a phone number. And then Spooky Matter Night, we very well may call you. All right. Now, open lines. Here it is. Well, coming up. I'll define it in just a moment. Let me get the rest of this in. I've got a couple of emails that have me concerned. This comes from Earl up in Montana. Art, I was driving through South Dakota yesterday on I-90 between Wall, Drug, and Rapid City when I started seeing dead cows and horses all over the north side of the interstate. I was driving west toward home. There were dead cattle lined up head to tail along the fence of the interstate like they were walking and all of a sudden just dropped dead. It was kind of like something from a disaster movie. I've been driving truck over 30 years and I've never seen a sight like it. They were also lying in groups dead, an amazing sight. Whew. I don't know, Earl. First I've heard of it. I know there was rough weather up there. Whether that had something to do with it or not, I don't know, but you're right. It's like seeing out of a movie. That's freaky. The nation's economy is on the line. President Obama and congressional leaders grouped inconclusively. It looked like it said groped. anyway. The Republicans leader came out of the White House and along with the other Republicans took a side entrance out the White House and went back to Congress. So we don't really know what happened, frankly. The news is taking this as perhaps good news that, you know, I don't know. They're not throwing grenades at each other anymore. We'll see. Under pressure from governors, the administration has now said it will allow shuttered national parks to reopen, but only if the states pay for it. Sheesh. Oh, what a day we live in, huh? And then there's this, and I consider this to be a legitimate person who has emailed me. I checked out the name. That's why I consider it legitimate. Art, please don't give my name, but I work for the FDIC. They floated a number of 20 banks failing per weekend if we go into default. I'd love to keep giving inside info if you want, Art. But when I heard they expected 20 failures per weekend and possibly one of the too big to fail banks to fail, I almost felt like making a run myself. And there's more, and I won't include it now. I'm opening a channel of communication with this person. But it's really scary, is the word. Scary. They can't be crazy enough to let that happen. This is from The Anomalist. And by the way, that's theanomalist.com if you want to go and read more. Robert Hastings shares some of his impressive research on regarding the link between nuclear bases and UFO interference, something I should have asked about last night. You know what? Darn it. With a collection of interviews with launch officers, and there are launch officers who have witnessed firsthand UFO encounters, indicating a disturbing level of interest in our nuclear power and weaponry. That's a partial read. You can read the rest of it. All right, so here's the deal. Open lines defined. Open lines means open, unscreened lines. That's what I'm about to open up to. There'll be nobody screening you, not that they normally do anyway. When we have a guest here, we screen for now your name, because that way I can call your name and you know it's you. And the fact that you have a legitimate question for the guest, and that's it. So they're not really screened. It's just more of a setup. Now it's unscreened. And by that, here's what I mean. When you call, it will ring about 20 times. If I don't pick up during that 20 times, you're going to have to pick it up and try again. We have many, many, many lines. So if you're ringing, you've got a shot. Now, what I'm looking for tonight is anything. Anything goes. I don't care. If you're a time traveler, by all means, I want you to call in. Sounds crazy, right, time travelers? Not so crazy, actually. If there are time travelers, the big question is, then where are they? And the answer to that question could well be, well, they're here, and, you know, they're not about to walk into the New York Times and throw down proof that they're a time traveler. Just doesn't work that way. You'd be in big trouble. Big trouble. Probably never make it out alive. So I understand that they could be in our timeline and not exactly really vocal about it. I wouldn't be. God, I'd love it to be true. That there really would be time travelers. That time travel really would eventually be possible. Or, if you think you're the Antichrist, I certainly want to hear from you. Vampire zombies, or just plain old peoples, humans. Whatever's on your mind is fair game. The numbers are simple. I love our number. It is so simple, 855-REAL-UFO. Now, set your mind at rest. It is a free call. We pay. 855-REAL-UFO. Or if you need the conversion number, it's 855-732-5836. Whatever. It's a really, really cool number. Here we go. Expect the unexpected. This is Dark Matter, and you are on the air. Hello there. Oh, I know. I know what we're going to have tonight. Everybody has to turn their radio down as soon as they get on the air. That's very important.
Okay, is it me?
That's why. Yes, it is you. It is.
I got a question. Is the one guest you had on your radio show, Linda Moltenhau?
Yes.
I didn't get a chance to catch her website that she has all her information on.
Let me think.
Because it kind of, y'all were talking about Bigfoots.
Right. We were talking about Bigfoot, yes.
Yeah. And I got...
I'm sorry, I can't give it to you offhand. I'll get it for you. Somebody will...
Okay, well, you can just do it on the air or whatever.
They'll send it in a wormhole.
Okay, I appreciate it. All right, thanks, sir.
That's all you need?
Yes.
A website, okay. All right, well, that was easy. Somebody send it to me in the wormhole. I'm trying to think of it. I've heard it a million times, and it just won't come. You'll get old. You'll see. Hello there, Dark Matter. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Benjamin Barron.
It is who?
Benjamin.
Benjamin, how you doing?
All right. I ain't used to listen to you. I've been catching a few of your shows, and I've been kind of getting interested in your show lately.
Me too.
I was listening yesterday, and I was hearing you guys talking about nuclear power and energy, stuff like that.
That's correct, yes.
And I was kind of wondering, how much energy does, a lightning strike produce?
It produces a very, very great deal of energy. However, capturing it and storing it, if that's what you have in mind, is it?
Yes.
Is not so easy. Very high voltage, very high current will kill you quite quickly if it gets you. But there's no reasonable way. Well, there's a reasonable way to get it, but not store it. That's the problem.
All right. I was, driving by all those wind turbines that you see them putting out there in the Midwest out there.
Yes.
I was wondering if there was some kind of way to, make some kind of lightning rod, and put them out in the field like they are doing those and, using transformers or something to capture and utilize the electrical current from a lightning strike.
I think it is a very cool idea. Look. Number one, I don't think you want to use them as lightning rods, although you could have a lightning rod on them, and I'm sure they do have lightning rods on them. They're not in favor of the wind jennies getting hit, because if the wind jennies get hit, there's a lot of sensitive electronics inside, and so you don't want that. By the way, let me stop and tell you a story. I'm sure you've all mostly heard the story of my very large antenna, right? I've got 5 acres here. And I have a large double loop that circles is the wrong way to put it, but encompasses 5 acres. It's a loop antenna. I mean, it's really, really, this baby is big. There's no question about it, on a total of 13 towers. Now, this antenna does something pretty weird, and I'm going to outline it right now because I know it'll be a source of some discussion. This antenna has some strange properties, or maybe not strange. Maybe it's normal, but it has a very great deal of voltage on it. And there's a couple things I want to tell you about this. Number one, the voltage is at a minimum like 330 volts. It has components of both AC and DC, which we saw on a scope. We haven't had any real pros out here to test it. I've done about as much testing as I can do. Our local electric company was going to come out here and inspect it, test it, but they never did. It's really got enough voltage and current to knock you on your butt. Here's two other facts about it. Well, three other facts. Number one, that voltage is present on a clear, blue sky, no wind day. I mean, no wind, dead still. I've got a sort of a Frankenstein switch out there that I can throw to ground, and I do fast. So you would think there'd be a rise time for that voltage, but there isn't. It's there instantly. You can draw a like quarter inch spark every time you close it to ground. And I mean even in rapid fashion. So the rise time is awfully quick. So that's pretty weird, right? Then people said, well, it might be coupling from your local electric lines. I thought, well, that was a reasonable suggestion. So we tested it when we had a power failure. The voltage was still there. In fact, frankly, I view the voltage as more of a bother than anything else, but of course it has possibilities. I have something that takes it to ground. And I did that after I lost about two or three very expensive radios. Well, three, actually. Very expensive. And so I have a special apparatus that takes it to ground with a choke and some other stuff. Goes to ground. Safely discharged to ground. It's an awesome antenna. Then there's one other thing. And you might want to explain this to me, and I probably, it's bad luck for me to be saying this right now, but bear in mind, I have 13 towers out there. The center tower that I feed is 100 feet, better than 100 feet high. The others are, I think, 76 feet each. This is a big deal. In all the years that I've had this up, you would imagine that I would have been hit by lightning a lot of times. But it's never happened. That's me knocking on wood. It's never happened. You know, we're going on 15, 18 years, whatever it is. I should have been hit a whole bunch of times, but I haven't been yet. Knocking on wood. Now, there is a theory that having this many towers, and they're all grounded, may protect me against lightning. I don't know that to be true, and I could well get hit by lightning, and the whole thing could, the whole theory could go up in smoke. It's me knocking again. And I tremble every time we have a big lightning storm. But it's kind of interesting. If you go out in the dark and there's a thunderstorm coming over, you can see a kind of a purplish ball of something, like a plasma, little plasma ball at the top of these towers. And then there'll be a lightning strike and poof, the little purple balls are gone. So it may be protecting me. And every time I say that, I have to knock on wood because, you know, I tremble every time. So that's what I've got here. That's what it does. And, you know, theories beyond that of what does it? You're welcome to contemplate. If anybody has serious equipment, wants to come out and test it, it is available to be tested. Call before digging. Hello there. You're on the air. Dark Matter.
Hey, this is Jojo.
Jojo.
How you doing? I wanted to ask a question. What is your belief on, like, what is your take as far as, like, if we were to discover life out there, would it change people's belief on this planet? Like, it would it, like, shatter the belief of people?
I guess it would depend on, well, let me turn it around on you.
Okay.
If we suddenly discovered aliens, we simply had discovered that there is life elsewhere, would that bother you?
No, I think somebody had to create them. So, I mean,
okay,
that
okay.
would be possible.
Yeah, I'm with you. So it wouldn't bother you, right?
No.
Now, if we discovered life and we met them and we got into a dialogue with them, and we found out that they were the ones who had seeded life here on Earth. In other words, they are our parents.
Right.
Would that bother you?
Yeah, that would. That would shatter my belief.
There you go.
Well,
there you go.
I appreciate it, man. I've been a big fan of your show for a very long time. So,
thank you very much for the call, and take care. Yes, I think that's the way it would go for the majority of people. Aliens, well, okay. If they come down holding the Bible and saying, we too believe in God, okay, aliens, no problem. If they come down and say, look, you were seated here just like we were by the Type 3 civilization, three stars to the right, then there'd be trouble. Big, big trouble. Hello there, Dark Matter, and you are on the air.
Hello, my name's Larry. I'm calling from Northwestern Minnesota. Thank you.
How you doing, Larry?
Good. I've been a long-time listener, and this is my first time I've ever been able to get through to you. And I have a special request that of a guest that I would like you to interview and have on your show.
Well, Paul Bowman, my producer, is surely listening right now. It's his job.
I'd like you to, if it's possible for you to have a person by the name of Gordon Lightfoot. I think he'd be an interesting guest for you to have.
Oh, I love Gordon. I had Gordon on before. You missed that, huh?
Well, apparently I did. Perhaps I'll go to a website and find it in an archive and watch it. And I saw him in concert 2 weeks ago, and I think he's a really interesting man.
Well, he certainly is, and he certainly does sing well, doesn't he? I mean, if you actually, I was sort of into that earlier. If you stop and you listen to the lyrics of a lot of songs, there is wisdom to be found there.
He writes great songs. There's no doubt about that. His words tell a story when he's singing.
That's a fact.
It is truly poetry in motion.
Right. It certainly is. All right, my friend, I'll put Gordon down.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. You know who Gordon Lightfoot is, right? No? It's back in the days when people made actual music. What has happened to our music? That's also a good Open Lines question, if anybody wants to try and answer it. You're kind of on to what I play, right? It's all from, well, the era when, in my opinion, they made real music. What are they making now? I don't think I'll open that one. Well, you know, I want the language here clean. Hello there, Dark Matter, and you're on the air.
Yeah, my name is Ryan, and I'm calling from the Pacific Northwest.
Hey, Ryan.
I'd like to say hi to all of my friends out there that are listening. I wanted to
Are you sure you have friends out there?
Well, I think I might do. I might have a couple out there.
All right.
Hopefully. I don't have too many enemies. I wanted to bring up a case. I know where there is a video a case that occurred where you can the photographs of this UFO are so incredible that you can almost see. I'm a little bit nervous here. I know where there are photographs.
Stop. Take a real deep breath. Just relax. And you're going to tell me about a cool case with cool photographs of a UFO. And I'm really interested. So where would I see these photographs?
Well, there was a video of a UFO over the ocean near Turkey, and the video was so clear and so close that you can see what looked like figures standing inside.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
And if you just
all right, you got my attention. Where do I see it?
Well, I was going to say that if you're going to have Roger Lear on as a guest in the future, he has the images and he has the videos, and also. If you search it down, if anybody searches down for Turkey UFO on the internet, there's a link to this analysis that this expert did in Chile, and I just wanted to point out to the audience that we've been looking for these kind of images for a long time.
All right, I have an idea. Why don't you do this for me? Go find the link you were just talking about. And send it over to webmaster@artbell.com. Now, if you do that, Keith will look for the link and put it up on the website. How would that be?
Sounds good.
Okay, can you do that?
I'll do that. I got a question for you before I go. Whatever happened to the show you did with this mysterious Victor who claimed to have snuck a tape out of Area 51? Did anything ever come of that? Did you ever figure out who that guy was, or was it all set up? Do you remember that show?
It absolutely was not a setup. Nothing I do on this program is a setup. Everybody thinks, I don't know, JC is a setup. They think that was a setup. Nothing I ever do is a setup. Ever, ever, ever. I would never do that.
I'm
ever.
Not saying you did. I'm questioning if.
I know. No, No, look, it was what it was. I never found out anything further. A lot of people also believe that it was Whitley Strieber that was doing the talking. Wasn't guaranteed. Beyond that, I don't know.
You've never heard from him since then?
No, sir.
Okay. I'll send that.
But I'm totally open to it. If anybody to do with that or any other case wants to get a hold of me, hey, we'll talk. No problem. I'm open for anything. You all should know that by now. Anything at all. Hello there. You're on the air. This is Dark Matter.
Art.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Wonderful to hear you again. I'm Anne Marie from New York City.
All right.
And my comment, you had mentioned something about time travel previously.
Yes.
And I think, have you ever heard of quantum jumping?
Oh, yes. It's all over the web.
Yes, it is. But,
quantum jumping.
I'm wondering, since you had mentioned your taste in music, which I can relate to because we're of the same generation, that perhaps as music evolves, we're actually doing the process of quantum jumping because we find ourselves in a very peculiar sounding kind of music these days. And to try to figure it out is beyond me. But
Well, I wonder if we're just not, you know, I know what's said. We're just getting old, right? And because I remember my dad, when I liked rock and roll, my dad said, how can you listen to that trash? And and I did, too, at great volume. So, but I don't think it's true. I really don't think it's true. I mean, it was good then. It's mostly junk now. Not all, but the majority of it's kind of junk.
But yet,
right.
The music endures, because every time I hear your show and I hear these songs, I'm always brought back to that time. And that amazes me. I remember it clearly as if I was experiencing those moments with every song. I can remember faces and people and what we were doing.
It's actually like time travel, right?
It is, because now some of those people that I was fond of in that time, particularly the 70s, are now gone. God rest their souls. It's people believe in God. But I thought I'd just bring that up to you because I am fond of that period of music, that period in the 70s and 60s too, because I remember the 60s very well. And
quick question for you. I have a quick question for you. If you could time travel and you could go any time, where would you go? When would you go? What would you, to what year would you go?
I would try to go back to 1963 and warn the president, John F. Kennedy, not to go to Dallas.
You know, thank you very much. That's a good answer. Can you imagine trying to do that if you could go back and you could warn President Kennedy that he was going to be shot in Dallas? Think of how that would go. You'd go back with a sure knowledge that President Kennedy was going to be assassinated. The absolute knowledge that he was going to be assassinated. And you would run, I'm sure you'd tell the Secret Service. You'd try to get to the very president himself and say, Mr. President, you're going to be shot. You go to Dallas, and you know where you'd end up? You'd end up in a Secret Service holding cell. This is the problem that I see with time travel. Now, perhaps you could go to the book repository and attempt to stop it that way. But if you went back and told the Secret Service or tried to tell the president, warn him, whatever, as that lady said, you'd end up in a holding cell for sure. Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hello. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Gus from...
Gus, how old are you?
Nine.
All right. Well, welcome to the program.
Okay. I was wondering, do you know whatever happened to Dallas Thompson?
No, I don't. I'm not familiar with Dallas Thompson.
Well, you tell me,
who is Dallas Thompson?
My friend John, he gave my dad a CD.
Yes.
From one of your interviews with
right.
someone named Dallas Thompson, and he was trying to, like, fly a helicopter to the center of the earth.
Really? Dallas Thompson flying a helicopter to the middle of the earth. Hmm.
And he said there was a hole
I remember somebody who talked about a hole in the earth.
Yeah.
I don't remember the flying the helicopter to the center of the earth part, though.
Okay.
I'll see what I can find out for you, buddy.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Right. Bye-bye. See, you see? This is why we keep the language clean here. Quick demo on why. Dallas Thompson. That name really isn't ringing a bell. The hole in the earth, actually up way up north, is vaguely familiar. Flying a helicopter into it, not. Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, sir.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've got a couple things to run by you, but I don't know if you have time for both of them. But my name's Scott. I'm calling out of Las Vegas.
Okay, Scott. Do you know who Dallas Thompson is?
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Have you ever heard that a lot of people, I've been wanting to share this, especially with somebody like you. I think your audience would be interested in this. It's prophecy to some degree. Did you ever hear that the year 2000 people really, there's a lot of people that believe that the year 2000 wasn't the year 2000.
I've heard that, yes.
The year 2001 was actually the year. Yeah, because of a calendar mix-up or something to that nature. I had heard that. Also, I had heard that Christ wasn't born in September. He was born in December. He was born in September, which makes sense because he was in the womb in December and Christ was on earth, essentially, in December. So you see the light, and it may have taken him 9 months to get there, the wise men and all that. And I heard that he was born in September. And it's my personal belief that the real Christmas, the real birthday of Jesus Christ is September 11th. And it was 2,000 years to the day that 9/11 happened. And this conflict will go on, in my opinion, for 33 years, paralleling Christ's teaching and Christ's life. But 2,000 years later, it'll wrap up, in another 21 years? On a Friday, and maybe, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be that detailed, but that's my opinion. That's just one thing I thought that it's the beginning of the end and the beginning of the Holy War. And you had to have a major catastrophic occurrence on that day, and that was 9/11. So,
got it. All right. So the whole thing. I hate to think that. You know, I just really hate to think that. I'm willing to go along with we've got a whole lot of dates wrong. I'm sure we celebrate some things on the wrong days. That kind of information slips away, but I really hate to think that those two dates are tied together. But you never know. Vince Thompson was, I guess, on with me about 11 years ago. 11 years ago. And he did have an idea, I guess, to fly a heli. Nobody knows what's happened to him. Because there's a whatever happened to Dallas Thompson thing out there. But he was apparently going to fly a helicopter into the center of the earth. Now, that idea would take some serious thought, because if, presuming there was a pole big enough, and presuming you could get a helicopter, I would think that you would run out of fuel before you ever hit the center of the earth. I mean, way before. And that would be very disappointing. Personal point of view, anyway. I wonder what solution he'd have for that. You're on the air on Dark Matter. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
My name's Paul. I'm a truck driver from the Northwest, from the Seattle area. I happen to be in Portland today, but later, earlier this afternoon, I was near Mountain Home, Idaho.
Yes, sir.
And I happened to witness what appeared to me to be an ICBM launch. I came up over the horizon, shot up the sky, accelerated like nothing I'd ever seen before, and shot across the sky to the east.
I don't suppose you got any photography, did you?
Oh, no. Oh, Lord, I wish I did. But I called a Boise television station to see if they had any information, and of course he was as shocked to hear about it as I was to see it. So as far as he was concerned, he had no idea about any kind of planned launch. Of course, you know, I had my fingers crossed for a while there, wondering if I was going to hear on the news about something on the other side of the world disintegrating.
Right.
Fortunately, never heard anything like that. So as far as I know, it was probably just a test launch. But you'd think that, you know, that they'd informed the local TV station that they were going to do something like that.
I must say, that's always been one of my biggest fears. You know, some of the old Armageddon-type movies where you suddenly see all these ICBMs beginning to launch in the Midwest. Oh, God, that's a scary thought, isn't it? And you know, what, you got about, at best, 25, 30 minutes or so, and then it's
exactly.
My baby. Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting to see a forest of them start taking off if everything went awry.
But that
just
is
seen
really,
a whole bunch of those
really,
contrails.
Really, really scary. Thank you very much. We'll look for any confirmation of what you saw. It could have been, who knows what it was, but yes. Those movies where you expect to see them just sprouting out of the earth suddenly. And you know that in, 20, 30 minutes, it's all over. I think over the pole, that's about as long as it would take, right? That's what we all live with. We were talking about that a little bit with yesterday's guest. But we all had to live with that. The possibility that at any moment, it could all be over. And there were moments where, well, I was in the Air Force at Amarillo Air Force Base, and I remember picking up the DEFCON phone when they raised the DEFCON level over the Cuban crisis. I was a young airman, and I picked up there was a DEFCON phone at every facility, and I picked it up, and I think all the blood drained out of my face. It was pretty freaky. Hi there, Dark Matter, you're on the air.
Yes.
Turn your radio off, please.
I just did.
Hello?
Yeah, I just did.
Okay, you're on a speakerphone or something. I can't understand what you're saying.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, yes, no. No speakerphones.
All right, hold on a minute.
I'm hanging. Cell phones we have to live with these days, but speakerphones on cell phones, oh, no.
Yeah. Can you hear me now, though?
Oh, that's so much better, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, this will do. All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say that I've been listening to you off and on for years, 54 years old. And I even remember listening to you when I was in high school late at night, trying to find you on the AM dial, going back and forth one station would finally go out, and I'd have to find you on another station. And I'd listen to half of you part of the time, and then when that was over, I'd have to find another station just part that I missed earlier.
The good old days. Yeah, bad old days, actually.
Yeah, they really were. Just a couple of things. Would like to hear something on the shroud sometime. I've heard something here a few months ago.
Shroud of Turin?
That they've got some new stuff about it. I don't know anything about it, but just something that I remember picking up on the radio that they've got some new stuff, and I'd like to kind of hear something about that.
I believe the provenance of that is still in question, right? They're not sure.
And stuff seems to indicate that it might not be at all. So
see, there you,
it'd just be kind of, just kind of interesting. And I'd also like to hear some stuff about what the Catholics have been saying about the aliens and their all their work that they've done with astronomy.
Okay, the Catholics have been very open, actually. A lot of cardinals have had things to say, bishops, about the possibility of aliens. I must say, if I could time travel, I would surely, my visit would be, I guess, to the birth of Christ. I would, I'm not a particularly, as you all know, religious guy. I'm just not. But given a choice of places to go, that's where I'd go. I would want to see it with my own eyes, wouldn't you? The whole thing. Follow it for as long as I could. Right on through the early years and as he became a carpenter and see it for myself. Witness some of the miracles. Wouldn't that be something? Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. Many Roswells, Tetra Roswells, and 51s from Bell Gab. I have a couple of spooky stories for you.
All right.
When I was a kid, about 13 or 14, me and a couple friends were laying in our living room watching a couple of scary movies, and there was a big lightning storm outside, and a big crash happened outside, and in come this big flowing ball that came through the front room window, across our heads, and dissipated on the back wall.
Ball lightning?
Might be. It was pretty freaky.
I take it nobody jumped up and tried to grab it.
No, we were too in awe of it to do it.
Good choice.
Yes. And also, when I was a kid, about one, we lived in a house over on the south side of town. And
1 year old?
Yes, 1 year old.
You remember when you were one?
I don't remember, but I was told by my parents.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So the gas on the stove would turn on at random times during the evening, and the toilets would flush at random times, and nobody was in the bathroom. And there was a room upstairs that it can be cold as hell outside. And it'd be warm, like 90 degrees. And when it was warm outside, it'd be cold as heck in that room.
Well, that's pretty weird. I'm afraid that if, you know, my gas was coming on by itself, I'd be thinking somebody was trying to do me in.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good assumption. But my dad and my mom went to Illinois to get some holy water from my very Catholic great-grandmother.
Oh, really?
Yes, and they brought it back to the house. And my grandma on my mom's side took the holy water upstairs and sprinkled it on the door frame and said, if there's any evil spirits in this house, get out.
Did it sizzle?
And the door frame shook.
Ooh. it would have been so cool to see that. Thank you very much. On video or something. Usually, it's a person in the throes of being occupied by an evil entity of some sort, and it's usually sort of tossed by the priest. movies, right? When it touches somebody with the devil in there. You're on the air. This is Dark Matter. Hello. Hello, hello. No, you're not. They got shy, and we just missed them is what happened. Hello, you're on the air, Dark Matter.
Hi, Art. Lenny Roswell, see you.
Thank you.
My question is there any update or any word about Mel's Hole?
No, none whatsoever. I've got word out, and we're checking. You know, and we're sort of checking all the way to Australia, because if he's around, that's where he's going to be. So I can't give you any updates.
Okay. Another question. Have you or would you ever interview Travis Walton? And what do you think about his story?
I have interviewed Travis extensively, and I think it's a very compelling story, extremely compelling. And I think he's telling the truth. And so the story is what it is. And I've interviewed him. Full show interviews.
Oh, that'd be great. I'll have to look that up. And one more thing. Are you familiar with the psychic Sylvia Brown?
Of course, yes.
Would you ever interview her?
You know, I might. I'm not really big on psychics.
Okay.
You know, it's so subjective. I would like to believe in psychics. I've known a couple that were pretty darn good, but I don't know. For the most part, it's subjective, and I sort of stay away from it.
Understood. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah,
thank
I appreciate
you
everything you're doing, Art. Thank you.
Okay. Thank
All
you,
right.
my friend, and take care. You know, I guess that said it the way I want to say it. It is sort of subjective. Anybody can sort of say they're a psychic. And separating the wheat from the chaff is really a job when it comes to that. You're on the air with Dark Matter and Art Bell. Hi. Hello? No, I guess I didn't push the button. What a dummy. Now you're on the air. I can tell because you have your radio on. Hello?
Just turned it off. Sorry, Art.
All
Good
right.
evening.
No, that's quite all right. Everybody's going to have their radio on. I know. That's okay.
I'm just calling about there was caves in the Midwest that you reported on years ago that they found
That's
like
right.
Egyptian artifacts. Whatever become of that?
I don't know. People are going to ask me these questions, and I'm sorry I can't say, well, you know, they're in a museum now and you can see them. I don't know. I don't
okay.
know. It's not a good, satisfying answer, but it's the only one I have.
Okay, Art. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, and take care. There's going to be a lot of that. And a lot of times I'm going to say, I don't know, because I don't know. But yes, there were caves in the Midwest that people were exploring, and they were finding fascinating things in them. But beyond that, I don't know. Dark Matter, and you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Infinite Roswells and 51s to you from the
Thank
vaguely
you.
Lovable at Belgab.
Vaguely lovable, yes.
Hi, I'm Andy from Melbourne, Australia. And
wait a minute, Andy. You're calling from
yes,
Australia?
I certainly am.
Melbourne. Wow, welcome.
Thank you. I've been a long-time fan, but I've already said that in my Roswells.
How's Australia?
Oh, Australia is beautiful. I love it here.
I would imagine so. I've never been to Australia. And I've been to most of the world, but I've never, and I really, really want to come to Australia.
Well, you're always welcome, and there's always a spare bedroom on my place.
Wonderful. Thank you.
What I was calling about is I've got two questions. One's a follow-up for the first question. I just want to know who owns the back catalogue of all your old shows, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to that.
Oh, it's Premier Radio.
Yeah. And is there any chance that you would be able to get that back in any way?
No, whatsoever. No way.
No way?
In fact, they won't even stop playing my Saturday show. If they keep playing my Saturday show, I'm going to send them email and email and email until they tag it with for modern, up-to-date material. Please tune to Sirius XM 109 after the Saturday show, you know?
I would actually love it if you had a 24/7 Art Bell channel on Sirius where you played your live shows, a mix of the old shows. I think it would be great.
One never knows. And if I'm here long enough, we'll have lots of new old shows.
Definitely. Well, I'm loving it. I'm loving the new show. I love your old shows. Thank you very much for coming back.
Well, thank you very much for calling, and take care down there.
Thank you very much.
Tasty Australian. It's really cool. We have listeners all over the world. The odds of your getting through, unless we had some special number to call. You know, I'll check during a break. I wonder if we have some special number where, for example, I could have people outside the country call. Or time travelers. If I want time travelers, I would like to have a special line because there are zillions of you out there. So, Okay. Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Todd here, phoning from Canada.
Hi, Todd.
I just want to say the other night that you had on a guest that was talking about little blue guys and they were bringing people back from the spirits and stuff like that. They're saying
Whitley Strieber, yes.
Yeah. Well, that got me thinking back to when I was younger. A friend of mine, he died, and the day that we buried him that night, he came to me in my sleep, and he says, same thing. I'm fine. Everything is good. Don't worry about me.
Well, all right. You've got to wonder. I certainly wonder, and that is, you know, I kind of understand. In your sleep, he came to you, but you've got to wonder, is it your mind, or did he really come to you? I mean, you're going to miss him. You're going to be grieving, and your mind is going to want to do something about that grief. So somebody could make a case that that's why you had the dream, or you could make the case that, in fact, he did come to you in your dreams and said that. What do you think?
Yes, you probably have both points are very good. But it's a very, as soon as I heard him talking that night, that came back to me right away, and I'm going, oh, my, that sounds so familiar.
Sure. I've got a quick question for you.
Yes.
When you hear the phrase tasty Canadian, do you pound the table and get upset?
No.
Okay.
No. What do you mean by that?
Well, actually, it goes back a long, long way to we were joking about a war between Canada and the U.S. We were joking about aliens and, you know, we got to talking about who would be tasty and I don't know. Tasty Canadian came up somehow or another. And, you know, I was wondering if it was horribly offensive to you or, I mean, it's a sort of a lovable, kind of a lovable term.
Oh, sure. You know, as Canadians, we're pretty peaceful people, so.
I do and you are, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, very, very easygoing people. Almost sometimes too easygoing. Interviewing Canadians is always interesting because they're sort of, I'm not sure what the right word for it is, but very matter of fact and very interesting people. Tasty Canadians. Hello there, Dark Matter. You're on the air.
Hey, how we doing?
We are fine. Are you a doctor?
No, I am not a doctor.
Okay.
They
always say, how are we today?
I was actually calling about a medical thing that happened to me that was quite interesting.
Okay, Dennis said that too, by the way. All right, medical, what happened?
Well, I was having some shoulder pain, and I went to the local hospital, and they were going to give me an MRI to check it out, see if I tore anything in my shoulder, and they asked me if I work with metal or anything before you do an MRI, and I said, yeah, I'm a pipe fitter welder, and they said, well, we'll have to do an X-ray first. So.
Right.
They x-ray up around my head, my shoulder area. And I said, oh, you have a piece of metal in your shoulder. I didn't think anything of it. And I said, well, maybe, you know, something gets under the skin. In my profession, you bump into sharp metal. Could happen. So they said, well, we can't remove it. People with this and, you know, this stuff, metal in the shoulder or something like that, we're going to send you to a bigger hospital up in Boston. So they do. I go in there thinking they just got pull a shot of metal out. You know, I'm thinking, is it a bigger operation or something? And, you know, they just numbed up the area, and he pulls out this metal, and I take a look, and it's like a little shiny cylinder tube, like stainless steel. And I asked to look at it, and before I could, you know, the doctor just walks out of the room with it, and, you know, told the nurse to patch me up, which was basically a Band-Aid, and it wasn't really much of a procedure. And then I asked them if I could see the piece of metal, and they said, oh, we already got rid of it. And it was... Then I go back to my local hospital, my local doctor, I go, that really wasn't much. And one of the nurses there just said, yeah, whenever anyone has one of those little pieces of metal in it, we send them into the bigger hospital in Boston.
Why is it I'm thinking there's a hospital, you said Boston?
Yeah.
With a whole room full of jars that are filled up with things like what came out of you.
Yeah. So, and then miraculously that thing comes out of my shoulder and it's the side that I was having pain on, and they pulled that out, MRI'd me, found nothing wrong, and within a week, the pain that I was having in my shoulder's gone.
Wow. That's quite the story. I can't imagine, I guess in working in metals, something like that could happen, but...
Yeah, and
Not looking like what you described.
I've pulled metal out of my hands, and it looks kind of nasty and dark and gets discolored. You get a little shot or a sliver in there, and you know, it's like a big... Splinter. I've pulled stuff like that out of my forearms and my hands.
Well, if they yanked a piece of metal out of me, I'd sure as hell want to see it.
Yeah, and I wanted to see it. And I saw them, you know, they had it in gauze, and they put it in their little plastic tray they had there, and I took a look at it. It was just probably about an inch long, maybe an eighth of an inch around.
You know what? They probably took it away from you before it started glowing.
Yeah, who knows? But they just pulled it out, and it was nice and shiny, like a little stainless steel cylinder, and I don't work with any metal like that. And I'm like, well, there's no way something like that I could have bumped into something, and I would have felt something like that go in my shoulder. I didn't remember it. You know, I'm like, that's not anything I've ever worked with.
That's a wild story.
They just threw it in the dish and walked away with it, and I said, hey, can I see that piece of metal? And they were like, oh, we already got rid of it.
All right, thank you very much. No way I'd so want to see it. In fact, not only would I want to see it, I'd want to keep it. I'd want it in my own little jar. Thinking the worst, I think of a room there in Boston full of little jars, full of little things like you just gave up. You're on the air, Dark Matter. Hi.
All right, I have a question for you.
Good.
How did you get so into radio? Did you build kits? Did you take apart old radios? Did you read schematics? How did you get so hands-on with radio?
All of the above. From the time I could go around the neighborhood and collect... I did this, actually. I'm not proud of it, but I went around the neighborhood collecting old radios for a charity that really did not exist. I was very young, you know, and statutes long past, and I would take them apart and build stuff. And so, yeah, that's how it happened. And all my life, I've never done anything but radio.
That's fantastic. Okay, well, thanks for that. And I just wanted to say I'm a longtime listener. I heard about your return from Bell Gab. However,
oh, yes.
I think it was very gracious of George to announce your return during his own broadcast.
Yes, that was so gracious.
And I guess thanks for the ride, and I'm listening again.
All right, take care, my friend. Thank you. It is amazing, isn't it, how one site gets around to the degree that site does, Bell Gab? I mean, they come and go. Sites rise, you know, these chat sites. Sites that talk about things like this program and programs like it, or that discuss similar things would be a better way to phrase it. It's an amazing age we live in today. On Twitter, I'm ArtBell51. on Facebook. Well, I'm just me. But you have to be on these things today. Although I admit to enjoying it. You know, I've got an iPhone 5 strapped right here to my hip. And it's a world that's kind of a lot of fun. You know, for a techie, it's a lot of fun. I made a request during the break for a special line. And we do have a couple, frankly, but we can't give them out because they'd be abused. And we need them for, well, you know, guests, things like that. So those numbers we can't give out, but we can probably request and get another line. And I hereby make that request. So far, SiriusXM has virtually done everything I've asked for. Now I'm asking for a special line so that in the future, if we want time travelers only, if we want overseas callers only, we'll get it. And we can do that by having a special line for nothing else but that. So tonight's show proves that that we need that. And I think that should be enough. What do you think? Here we go. Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Hello. Yes, hey.
Hey, Roswell's, man.
Thank you.
Yes, I just went through Roswell about an hour and a half ago. I'm a truck driver. I just wanted to make a point that all those dead cattle up in South Dakota, they had a freaking snowstorm up there.
I know. They had bad weather.
Yeah.
I know, but you would think, though, wouldn't you think that, cattle are used to weathering storms, right?
Well, you get that cold and that much snow, they can't move around. They can't move around. They can't get any blood flow, and they can't get no blood flow in the case they warm. They all huddle together, but they do freeze. I mean, that happened out in the West a lot back in the olden days. The reason I called tonight, I'm one of them lucky people. I have seen a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch.
Where?
I was in New Mexico, going between Santa Rosa and Las Vegas. I was headed up the hill, and I come up over this hill. I'm a truck driver, and I come up over this hill, and I've got real good bright lights on my truck. But I saw there's a white house on one side and a white barn on the other side, and both of them have these outdoor lights. And I saw a shadow coming across the house there. And I thought, man, that's headed right for the road, you know? So the hair on the back of my head standing up right now, it still freaks me out. But I saw this shadow coming across this house, and it got my attention because it was headed for the road. And sure enough, that dude walked right across the road right in front of me. He's probably 100 yards in front of me when he walked across.
All right, describe the dude.
Well, he's a big, tall guy. I don't know how tall. He's about 8 foot, I guess. And there wasn't really a whole lot I could see. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And
was the dude covered with hair?
Yeah, it was real dark hair. You couldn't really see a lot. The light didn't penetrate enough to see anything. I mean, you could see the guy walking across the road. Lot of him because the light just didn't reflect stuff, you know.
Okay, we're beginning anything. I'm sorry, we're beginning to lose you. So you got to look enough to know about 8 feet tall and hairy. I guess he's gone. It's too bad. Cellular phones. There is a movement on. I would like to say this about cellular phones. To increase bandwidth, and let me explain to you what that means. The first cell phone company that increases bandwidth and gets back to the kind of commercials where you can hear a pin drop and it really sounds good again is going to get my money. And I really mean that. The first cell phone company to come out with increased bandwidth, in other words, a good sounding phone, kind of like the old days, is going to get my money, and it's coming. I am told that there are some of the biggest cell phone companies that are now beginning to work on that very concept. Wouldn't you love to see those pin drop commercials again? Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. This is John. but they call me Earthquake.
Okay, Earthquake. I like that name.
Well, I got it because I'm a pilot, and when I was going to flight school, my instructor always told everyone that he could always tell when I was doing my takeoffs and landings because his coffee mug would shake.
I don't know if that's good, but okay.
Well, but anyway, I'm calling because this guy, Dallas, I remember that show very well, and my horse poop meter, like, broke that night. It was, like, extremely unbelievable. You don't remember. You were, like, really, like, I can't believe this guy is actually, this stuff is coming out of his pie hole.
Well, maybe it was not that memorable for me.
Well, it was probably the you had the most, I guess, patience that I've ever heard you have with anybody. This guy was talking about, using this fan, jetpack to go, down into this, this hollow earth thing, and he's like, he was legally blind.
I believe, listen, wasn't it at the North Pole?
Yeah, and he was legally blind, and he said, "Oh, but I'll be able to see just fine when I get down in the center of the earth." And I'm like, "God, geez, Louise!" But you don't remember that at all.
I do. I remembered it. It was at the North Pole. I didn't remember the helicopter part.
Well, it was like, they just actually flew the prototype about 6 months ago. It's actually a fan, ducted fan jetpack. They call it a jetpack because it's jets of air. And they just flew it with a dummy, by the way. A real dummy, not like a...
Well, all right. I raise, sir, the same objection, and that is, fine. If there's a hole at the North Pole down into the center of the Earth, great. But whether it's a jetpack or a helicopter, you're going to run out of air or fuel before you get anywhere near the center of the Earth.
And the guy was blind.
Well, that does add a degree...
I mean, did he go to the Helen Keller School of Flying or something?
I don't know.
By the way,
I don't know. I mean, we're a program that considers and listens to anything.
Yeah, but boy, that guy's nose must have been growing. So I tell you, it was just like unbelievable. I was just rolling my back of my eyes. I actually rolled in the back of my head that night. But Art, one thing I wanted to ask you about.
Yes.
I'm a pilot, and I'm building an airplane. And what I plan to do is I plan to break the absolute world record for doing outside loops. Now,
really?
my only problem is I had been sick for the last 7 years. I've had, like, MRSA seven times. I've had, like, six or seven back operations.
Right.
I became diabetic. I had to sell the airplane I had then, but I became non-diabetic. I lost weight, and I got off some medications I was taking. And my problem is I need, like, $25,000 or so to get this sucker finished.
Uh-huh.
And I have no idea how I'm going to come up with this money, especially now with, the government going broke. Jeez, I was even hoping to maybe, talk to somebody about getting a grant or something. But do you have any idea how one could get an airplane finished in this world right now?
No.
I mean, I have the engine. I actually helped design it. The plane is going to be stressed for 9 Gs positive, 6 Gs negative. And, I think I could do it. The woman who has the record, she did a 206 outside loops, but she had a husband who was a multimillionaire.
Listen to me. If a guy with horns, kind of glowing red, came to you and said, "Look, son, I know you need 25 big ones to build this plane. All I need is your signature down here at the bottom. It's this little soul thing. And you sign this and you get your money."
I'm crazy, but I'm not stupid. But,
so no deal, huh?
But nope. I will do a lot of things, but I won't sell mine or anyone else's soul. In fact, I'm the guy that if the guy...
See, now that's what I call serious faith, my friend. Serious faith.
I think sometimes good things happen, but like I'm the kind of person that there was a movie out where some guy will come to a couple with this box with a button on it, and if you push the button, you became a millionaire, but then someone else in the world died.
That's right.
I would not
do that.
Not on a hot bet. Nope. Okay. Absolutely not. But then again, you know, nice guys don't get the airplanes finished.
That's right. Look, a lot of people would say, you know, I really don't believe in all of that anyway. Sure, I'll sign. Here you go. How many of you would do that for $25,000? It's a guy with horns, and he's glowing a little reddish color. And yeah, his eyes are kind of glowing red. But he's got $25,000 in cold, hard cash. All you've got to do is put your signature on that line. You don't believe in all that stuff, right? Sign here. Dark Matter, you're on the air.
Art Bell, this is Bill, one of your friendly truck drivers calling you in. Welcome back, buddy. Haven't heard you for a long time.
Thank you. It's pretty cool as a truck driver that you can drive from one end of the country to the other and never lose the signal, huh?
I love that satellite thing. That is the best thing since sliced bread, I got to say.
It is.
I just heard about you back last night. I had a buddy call me. He says, have you ever heard of this guy? And I go, oh, my God, no way. Yeah. He told me, I listened to you last night. God, welcome back, man. This is awesome to have you back.
Well, thank you. We're trying to abbreviate that. When people call, they say Roswells. What that means is love you, nice that you're back, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, many Roswells. Hey, on that cow thing going on up there in South Dakota, that was because of that big storm. We had a bunch of our drivers getting through there. And
any idea how many cows were lost?
It's in the thousands. And the problem of it is why that guy stacking them up against the fence is in protest to the federal government being closed down right now. He can't get any aid to help clean it up.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, so it's going to be a rotten pile here pretty soon.
A very stinky pile. Yeah.
Yeah, at that. But yeah, still out here, still driving. Glad to hear you back. I've seen another Bigfoot since I've talked to you last. I just heard that other guy talking about it, and they're out here. That's my fourth one I've seen.
Listen, I've heard. Maybe you can tell me. I've heard there's going to be a truckers protest back in D.C. Where they're going to just sort of line up and do 55 miles an hour. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, they did that back in, I believe, Reagan days, too. But I think it was some guy just kind of barking up a tree and hoping to have some followers. There might be a few hundred, but I doubt it's going to be a big jam like they participate. I mean, the price of fuel, the price of a truck, I can't afford to take a day off, you know, as it is. So it's... Why would you want to do that?
I know that you guys were getting the hell squeezed out of you, and it was just getting rougher and rougher and rougher. So you're saying you have to be in that truck working it virtually every day?
Right. With the new hours of regulations they just passed this last year, it's outrageous. I mean, they're forcing now, we're only allowed to work 14 hours in a day. We're only allowed to drive 11. And anywhere in a consistent 8-hour period, I have to take a 30-minute break. I'm forced to do that. And a 34-hour out would give me a 70-hour clock again because we work as a 70- and 8-hour clock with the company I work for. And I'm only allowed to do one of those every 168 hours, which is every 7 days.
I've got a question. In the old days, people used to bend the regulations. Truckers, you know, would make up one log and make up another log and stuff like that. Is that still going on?
It is, but in today's technology, those were called comic books, you know. We're running on electronic log books, and they're really neat because most of the law enforcement, when they ask you for your log book, you tell them what's in there on the dashboard of my truck. We're running an electronic onboard computer, and they don't want to have nothing to do with it. They just look at it, that's interesting. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Of course, you know, this is a cool deal for truckers because, you know, you're sailing through the night, you're working a lot of hours, and you can only listen to music so long before, and it's good for a while, actually, but then after a while, to stay awake, you really need something like this. Talk radio, and it will keep you awake, You're on the air on Dark Matter. Hi.
Roswell.
Hello. Yes, thank you.
Turn,
please.
It's off.
Okay,
I have two words. John Titor.
Sorry?
John Titor?
Yes.
Do you think he was real or maybe a Phil Hendry?
Oh, you're talking about Titor the Time Traveler.
Yes, yeah, him.
Titor, I didn't get that for a second. Titor.
Sorry.
That's all right. I don't know. I think he is probably the strongest case that we've had yet, you know, in terms of one who's been talking to us about this. I think he's the strongest.
Now, his thing was different timelines every time he traveled back and
right.
forth. So
that's right.
Maybe his things didn't come through or maybe didn't come true. But he kind of reminds me of Phil Hendry from 2036.
Really? Okay.
But no, I just thought your thoughts on John Titor.
Well, I'd love to interview him. Those are my thoughts. You know, if he's out there and if he crosses this timeline, tell him Mark Bell's on Sirius XM and wants to speak to him. Gosh, I wish I had a... You know, I mean, the people who are on the lines right now really want to get through, right? So I can't really, it wouldn't be fair to have them hang up and then say time travelers only. That just wouldn't be fair. What we need is that special line, and we will work on it. How about that? You're on the air. This is Dark Matter.
Art.
Hi.
Art Bell, it's wonderful to speak with you.
Thank you.
Many, many Roswells, many Rendlesham Forests, even. Yeah, do you remember the magazine back in the 1980s called Omni Magazine?
Of course, yes.
Yes. I just want to tell you a little story about an article they had about how to control your dreams.
Okay.
And by the way, this is Wayne from Denver.
Yes, Wayne.
Nice talking with you. But this article focused on how to control your dreams, and it gave you a little step-by-step thing that you were supposed to do during the day to prove to yourself that you're awake, and then concentrate really hard when you go to sleep. And it worked, but not in the way I thought it was going to. I think I actually had an out-of-body experience. And I lifted out of my body, and I floated out of my bedroom, down the hallway, and floated past my father. My feet were dragging on the ceiling the whole time, and I could remember feeling the bumps of the doorways that I was going through.
That's something.
And I floated past my father, who at that time was sitting in his chair reading the newspaper. I floated past him, saw him, floated through the kitchen, the back rec room, and out the door, the back door. And as soon as I started to head towards the sky, I just got sucked right back into my body real quick, and I just opened my eyes. I was just like, wow, what was that? And I actually went out and looked, and my father was still sitting in that same position, you know, reading his newspaper.
Now, that would freak me out. In other words, you had confirmation that everything was as you saw it in the so-called dream.
Yes, because it just completely freaked me out, and I immediately walked out there, and I told my father, and he didn't really, you know, say he felt anything, but yeah, it
yeah,
was great.
I'm sure you got a sure son.
I got a what?
Sure son. I understand.
Yeah. He thought I was a little wacky.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But the following month, I think it was 1 month later, they had another special feature in the Omni magazine of how to have an out-of-body experience, which I thought was kind of weird. You know, I tried to control my dream, and I hadn't had a body. And when I tried to get out of body...
No, really. You can do it. You can do it. As you just found, as you found out, it is possible to leave your body.
Yeah, I believe it now. And it took probably maybe 4 or 5 different days of doing this religiously during the day. Read something, go back and read it again. If it reads the same thing, you prove to yourself that you're awake.
Let me ask you a question. Did it scare you?
It scared me when I went out the back door and headed towards the sky. Then I felt no control. I felt like I was just going to go wherever, and I had no control of it. And
normally, that's what will snap you right back.
That's what did it, yes. As soon as I saw the sky.
That's right.
It was freaking.
Yeah, any sort of fright will bring you right back. It's not as though you can stop it. And it's not as though you can prevent the fear. Only with extended practice, exactly what it was saying, doing it again and again and again and again, you can begin to get good. And you can leave your body. It's a real phenomenon. I have a complaint about dreams, and I wonder if any of you share it with me. And it is this. Most dreams are okay. You know, I don't have a problem with them. The dreams that I do have a problem with are the ones where you have to work at something. You know, where you're striving and really trying to get something done, accomplished, whatever it is. And you wake up and you feel as though you have just worked a 16-hour day. I mean, it was serious, whatever it was. It was serious work. And so you wake up without the feeling of being rested. You wake up tired, annoyed at having such a dream. That's the word I would use, annoyed. You're on Dark Matter. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Roswell with TR. Yeah, I'm just asking about a former guest you used to have and if you're going to still have him, Ed Dames.
Sure, I'd have Ed Dames back on.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
And sure he is. And you know what? You have to imagine that what he talks about, this kill shot that he talks about, everybody's, he's such baloney because it's never happened. Well, you know what? Some things just don't come true, for example, in this lifetime. In other words, what he's seeing may yet come true. It's a central tenet when he remote views. He sees it again and again and again and again. We may not be here to see, to say, oh, check it out. Ed's right. We're dead.
Yeah, once would be enough. Yeah, I just want to say welcome back to the air, and now it's sleepless nights again.
Thank you so very much.
All right. Good talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Take care. Sleepless nights. This is the time for things of this nature. Things that may have a bit of a bump in the night. And, of course, this is the month for things that really go bump in the night. You are on the air. Hello.
How dare you?
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I'm just kidding, Art. How do you like my
really?
JT impression?
How do I like it? It was so good that you heard me begin to respond.
Hi, this is Lou. I'm from Buffalo. Driving across Ohio. I'm a truck driver. And
very funny, Lou.
Well, I thought I'd like to share something with the audience. I don't know if it's been in the news or anything, but I have a lot of family members, like three of them, that work for the IRS, and they were off all of last week, and I'm pretty sure they're still off this week, but I was having dinner with them over the weekend, and they got a call from their office, and apparently they're getting back pay for all the time that they're off.
But the government hasn't started back up again yet.
I don't know about that, but I know whoever their boss is or whatever at the IRS called them and said, you know, don't worry, you're getting paid for all the time you're sitting here doing nothing. So I thought that might be kind of interesting.
Well, it is interesting, and I'm going to have to verify that with somebody else, because what I heard was that while most of the government was shut down, the IRS would keep going as usual. So let's have a little more from people out there. How about the rest of you? Anybody know anybody working in the IRS? The firm word I had was that the IRS would continue as usual. Back to the lines we go. You are on the air. This is Dark Matter. Hello.
Hi, this is Gary from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Hey there.
Hi, I was wanting to ask you, I know you're a real big ham operator. I'm a truck driver, and I notice, like, when I'm driving down the road, if I got my CB radio on, that I can hear people in, I'll be in Ohio, I can hear people talking from California. And
right.
It was told to me that some, like a phenomenon called skip, and I was wondering if you could tell me exactly how that works.
I guess I could. Sure. I'll turn your radio back on and listen. We are in we're in a period of time right now when we should have really good skip. When you can shoot all the skip you want. Of course, it's not legal, but what this refers to is our ionosphere. Radio, when the conditions are right, it depends on the 11-year sun cycle. We should be having fantastic radio right now, but it's not as good as it could be and as we wish it would be. But 27 megahertz, which is where CB communications occur, when the sun is right, when it's angry enough and producing sunspots and we get flares and all the rest of it, well, that band begins to bounce instead of just going across terrain for, what, 20 miles at best? It suddenly begins to bounce off the ionosphere and back to Earth. So, if you were to draw a circle Earth and an ionosphere up above, and you were then to imagine your signal goes to the ionosphere and then bounces back to Earth, that's how it happens. And suddenly, you're hearing people from the other side of the country or the other side of the world. And again, it's tied into our 11-year or 22-year, depending on how you want to look at it, sun cycle. We've been all hoping the sun cycle would be a little better, a little angrier, a little better for what we call propagation. But so far, it's been kind of a dud. Now, there is a school of thought that says, look out. Because while it's been a dud so far, we are in the peak at the moment. And so the sun could suddenly let go, well, I don't want to say an Ed Dame-style blast, but it could happen. This is Dark Matter, and you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. Hey, Art. This is Jason in South Carolina.
Hi, Jason.
Hey. I just wanted to share a personal story of my cat that passed about 6 years ago, and it relates to the whole question of this, is there souls in animals and pets,
sure,
like that.
Sure.
So it's just a tidbit, but it's entirely true, and just for people to digest and think about. But this cat was 20 years old. She was pure white, and I was with her when she was born, and of course there when she died. And she was deaf, completely deaf, couldn't hear anything. And it's just like with people, when a cat's deaf, they have the most unique meow that you can imagine. Well, she did this her whole life, and I would know it if I heard it today. It's something that you couldn't mistake for another cat or for really any other sound. But long story short, she was put to sleep just due to old age and things like that. And I came back to my home. She lived with my parents. I was 29 at the time, and we were, of course, sad. She was, you know, very important to the family, but I was just sitting there on the couch with my mother. We were quiet after, you know, just 2 hours after she had been put to sleep.
Right.
And we were just sitting there, and it's a small home, but we could look straight through the door into the kitchen, and we heard this sound. It was just like her meow. I mean, it's unmistakable. It couldn't have been a cat outside or any kind of machinery. I've never heard it, anything like it since then or before then, just some as a random noise. And I heard it, and I just kind of stopped and thought to myself, and I just kind of turned and looked at her, and I said, you know, that sounds like Vanilla. And she nodded, and she said, yeah, I heard that too. And
yep.
The state that we were in, we just kind of acknowledged it and then just went on. And I'm sure it was in my mind, and I know it was in her mind. So for me,
I'm with you all the way. I'm with you all the way, my friend. Listen, my Yeti is 22 now, and I don't see how anybody can deny it. Well, if you're not an animal person, and I know the Bible doesn't speak of this, But if here's my opinion. If we have souls, and I lean toward yes, we do, and you're an animal person, and you look into the eyes of your cat or your dog, and you don't know there's a soul in there, then there's something wrong with you. They have, if you really examine, if you live with animals, then you know. They virtually have all the aspects that we have. They have love. Oh, they have lots of love. They have anger. They have hatred. They have jealousy. They have on and on and on and on. The sense of possession. Everything you can imagine. No, they can't talk. But if you look into their eyes and you don't know that they have souls, then I don't know about you. That's my belief, for whatever it's worth. Somebody wrote, hey, Art, how could you not have remembered your OBE? Well, sure, I had an OBE. It was a very quick one, and it occurred in Paris, France. And my wife at the time and I had gone to Paris on vacation, and maybe that had something to do with it, but I was out of my body, boom, like that. I was in a place suddenly that was the most, well, there are not words to describe how joyful and amazing a place it was. And I guess I was so completely in shock that I popped right back into my body. And I immediately woke my wife up and said, God, I was just out of my body. And I really was. But it was very quick. And I was so shocked that I'm sure that's what popped me right back in again. Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, this is Lloyd in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Hello, Lloyd.
I'm going to give you a news story that is 3 years old, 2 years and 11 months.
Okay. So it's not exactly breaking news.
Well, yeah, but it's something you have never heard before. I mean, I've never heard it before on any program.
Okay.
Okay, so you're ready.
Yes.
Okay, remember when the Chinese submarine supposedly shot off a missile in Los Angeles? I'll give you the date. It was November 10th, 2010.
Oh, I do remember something about that. Yes, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so they said the missile misfired. All right, so I live in Fountain Hills, which I was looking straight north from my house. Los Angeles is on my left, and New Mexico and Texas is on my right. So anyway, I did not see the missile misfire. I heard about that on the radio later on. But when I looked off to the left, this is pre-dawn in Los Angeles and just about dawn in Fountain Hills where I'm at.
Right.
Okay, so anyway, off to my left is a bunch of balls. I know this sounds stupid, but yellow and green balls. It looked like energy to me. Bright and shiny and all that stuff anyway. And then I looked off to the right, and coming up from behind the trees, of course this is way beyond the trees, but coming up from behind the trees comes this, I don't know what you'd call it, a craft of some kind. Oh. And it's coming up very fast, and it's almost transparent, and it's coming up to the curvature of the earth, and then it starts following the curvature of the earth. Now, this thing is huge, and I can't tell you how huge, except when airplanes go over here, they're going over to 32,000 feet, they look like little nothing, like little dots.
Right.
I'm sure hundreds of them could fit on this thing, without a doubt. So anyway, I could watch this thing from those trees. It went, followed the curvature of the earth, and it went beyond New Mexico, because I could see New Mexico, because I have seen missile misfirings from White Sands, so I can see that far. At any rate, this thing went over. And I would imagine I saw it for possibly absolute tops 5 minutes as it went along the curvature of the earth. And at 5 minutes, it went, I'm going to say for numbers, 1,000 miles that I could see it. So anyway, it's going 12,000 miles an hour, something like that. Now that's the boring part of the thing.
The
thing is, where was it built? Why was it built? Did it come out of the ocean when they were giving us all this distractions with the missile misfiring and these green and yellow balls and all that? And where is it going? And where is it going to land if it does land somewhere? And that's the end of my story. And well, I was at 81 years old at that time. I'm not selling a book. All I gain out of this is ridicule from my friends when I told them, hey, okay. So that's probably what I'll get from you, too.
No, I won't ridicule you.
Okay. But it's no news. You're not interested in it.
Well, of course I'm interested in it. I would have a few questions.
Okay, I'm listening.
Something as big as you said it was, traveling as fast as you said it was, should have been reported by a lot of people. Would you agree?
Exactly. That's why I never called it in that night. I thought, oh, God, everybody's got to see this. I've called Art Nouri hundreds of times, and I can't get through to him. It's always busy.
Art Nouri?
Huh?
Art Nouri?
No, George Nouri. I called Nouri.
George Nouri. I see.
I called him hundreds of times, and it was always a line busy, and then I finally gave up.
Uh-huh. I see.
Okay, any other good questions? Who could have built this thing? And where would it have been built? And is that the only one that has been built? Well,
I of course have no idea, no answer for all of that. No answer at all. The only thing I can think of is that a lot of people should have seen it. I mean, the size that you declared it to be as compared to aircraft. You're on the air. This is Dark Matter. Hello.
Okay. How you doing?
I'm okay, sir.
Hey, this is Brent. I want to talk about ISON meeting Planet X by the sun.
ISON meeting Planet X?
By the sun.
By the sun.
Yeah, I got about 30 pictures of Planet X. And Hoagland, remember he was saying about the ISON? That when you looked at one of the pictures, it looked like a honeycomb, and he thinks that there was, you know, people coming out and flying saucers.
No, we're confusing some things. He had a picture of a comet.
Comet ISON, right?
No, sir. That was not a picture of ISON.
That was a picture that
they took of a comet, but it was not ISON.
Well, anyway, I got about 30 pictures. I've been taking these pictures for the last 6 months. Of the sun, you know, you put your sunglasses up to the lens of the camera and you take the pictures and you get to see Planet X right there by the sun, which is around 7 o'clock, you know, and then
I've been really curious about this whole Planet X thing. I mean, if Planet X was the kind of thing that you could, well, you mentioned hold your sunglasses up to the camera and then take a picture and see it, a whole planet. You know,
see the whole planet. You just see, you know, it's like a light. You know, I mean, it's really small, but when you take the picture, you can see that. Now then a few months later, which about 2 or 3 months ago, I forget the guy's name, but he said if you take the picture and get there's a dormant sun with it, and so I was thumbing through my pictures that I got, and I can understand where he was talking about the dormant sun because I have about 6 of them. And, it's up there. All you got to do, and if you want to Google it, go Google and punch in Planet X. They'll tell you all about that, you know.
I know, and I don't. I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. I've been hearing about Planet X since I could read, and that would be a while. People believing that there is a Planet X. And people like this last gentleman who think that Planet X is just basically sitting there in full view. I'm sorry, sir, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. Now, could there be a Planet X that would be a rogue planet and would enter our system and cause havoc? Yes, that's certainly a possibility. Astronomically, it's a possibility. But is there a Planet X just hanging out there? In our system right now? No. No, I don't think so. I just don't think so. You're on Dark Matter. Hello.
Hi, Art Bell. How are you?
Just fine, sir.
It's an honor to talk to you and Megar Roswell's to you. This is John in 8MXA in Athens, Ohio.
All right.
Just wanted to wish you the best of luck on your new show.
Well, thank you.
And you've done a great job so far. It's awesome.
Well, thank you.
All right, sir. You guys have a great night. Tell that guy on the CB band he needs to get into the ham radio and get on the
thing. Well, you know, a lot of hams are somewhat tend to get somewhat upset with CBers. I'm not one of them. I really don't care how you get into radio. If your path is through the CB band, that's fine. And as a matter of fact, CB is actually fine. So I'm not one of those hams. I don't get my nose out of place with CBers at all. In fact, when I'm on the road, I will use CB because CB will tell you what's going on, where the trouble is, where the traffic jam is, roads to take to get around it. It has a very serious use. Anyway, it's a great way for people to get into radio and then eventually into real radio, which is ham radio. So I'm kind of a fan of it, frankly. Whatever stepping stone, you're on the air. This is Dark Matter. Hi.
Art, how you doing?
Very well, sir.
I go by the nickname Florida Jim. And I'm
Florida
calling,
Jim, okay.
Yeah, I'm calling about John Teeter.
Okay.
I had the privilege to interact with him back on your old post-to-post AM forum back in 2001.
You mean coast-to-coast?
Well, yeah, you guys had a forum up with the post-to-post name.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Keith Wren. And he struck me as an anti-government kind of guy, but he made an interesting offer. He said, listen, I'm going back to 1998. If you want to email yourself, you know, 3 years in the past, send it to me. I was like, yeah, it's an interesting idea. So I did that. Ever since then, I keep experiencing timeline changes that nobody around me has any awareness of.
All right, now we're off to the races here. When you say timeline changes, explain it to me.
Okay. I'm driving down the road. And on what I knew was an empty lot the day before is a brand-new, functioning, fully stocked Walgreens grocery store, or pharmacy.
Wow.
Then I'm driving down another road. I had this extreme deja vu feeling. Couldn't understand what it was. It wasn't like I had been there. It was more like something's out of place. A few hours later, I drive back up the same road. Another empty lot had turned into a furniture store. And all these odd little things kept happening. At first, I didn't want to say anything about it. But I was a little scared. I was going to wake up and my wife and son were not going to be around. Nobody was going to remember them and all this kind of stuff.
I hear you.
So I got in touch with some of the other people who had been on the forum talking this year. And they were having similar experiences. I even had a common one with a woman named Pamela who kind of collected the emails for John. And it's just bizarre. Now, for me, it's continued. I had this happen again in September. And just minor, you know, feeling of, like, alter deja vu. I actually call it an alter vu because it's not, you know, things changed. And,
has it ever extended, you know, you mentioned buildings and structures and so forth, and that's freaky enough. Has it ever extended to people?
Absolutely, and that is one of the freakiest things that's happened. I've had situations where people, famous people, obviously, Arthur C. Clarke, Nelson Mandela, Stephen Hawking, these people had died in my past. Then I discovered that they were alive again. And but the most interesting for me, I'm very much into music. I'm a musician and all. A man named Chris Cornell, lead singer of a couple of bands, Soundgarden, Audioslave. In my original timeline, he died in 1999 of a drug overdose. Then I had a alter vu, a timeline change, a time quake, whatever you want to call it, in 2007. Right. And as soon as that happened, he was back alive. And there were 8 years of music I had never heard from this man.
That's incredible.
I was just stunned. And so today I still ask, you know, I unfortunately don't think Peter's ever going to get back here because he went off mission. I don't think they're going to let him fly that thing anymore. He wasn't supposed to travel to 1998, 2000, 2001 and all that. But, yeah, strange phenomenon. You know, if anybody's got any answers, I'd be happy to give out an email telling me why the hell this is still happening.
I understand. It's extremely worrisome. Thank you very much. He mentioned the name, of course, of Nelson Mandela. And I think that the whole world had one about Nelson Mandela. I brought this up on the previous program. I was convinced that the press had reported Nelson Mandela as dead. And this was years and years ago. I recall being on the air one night and saying, referencing the fact that Nelson Mandela had died. And I firmly believed that. And I firmly believed that I had heard that on the national news. And that was an accepted fact in my mind. And lo and behold, Nelson Mandela was very, very much alive. So,
latest show, as it comes out, please subscribe at www.youtube.com/user/disclosure radio.
We'll do that in the next break. That way, everybody will have an opportunity to get through between now and then. And you'll know that as of the next break, you should all hang up, and we'll just hang in there for time travelers and the rest of that jolly little group and see what we can get. In view of the fact that we don't have a special line, that's about all I can do. Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art Bell. I got a question for you. Remember earlier this year when a lot of strange phenomena, strange noises from the sky were reported, and it was all over the Internet. I had seen it, and I had heard it.
Oh, you're kind of breaking up on me a little bit. Earlier in the year, a strange phenomena all over the Internet, something.
Strange noises from the sky, Art.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember hearing people walk down?
Yeah, I do, yes.
And what is your opinion on that?
I have none particularly about the source of them. We hear strange noises here all the time, big booms, and we sort of know what they are. They're dropping bombs over at Fort Irwin. And when I say big booms, I mean gigantic booms. So we're kind of used to hearing strange noises, but I know what you're referring to on the Internet, and no, I have no idea. I guess he's gone. That's sad. Well, that's the cellular world that we live in now. Now you know why we require that our guests have a corded phone. Sorry about that, sir. The gods were not smiling on you. Dark Matter, and you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is Joey from Alabama.
Hi, Joey.
Hey, is this Art Bell?
I'm the only one here.
Okay, hey, I wanted to thank you. I'm a new listener, and it's awesome getting to hear you every night. So I wanted to ask a question, and I also wanted to make a comment. I remember somebody calling a little earlier about dreams and being able to control their dreams, and I don't really believe that you can control your dreams. I think there's something greater than myself when it comes to dreams. And I wanted to say that it's kind of hard for me to say this on the air, but I'm a recovering alcoholic. And for the past 15 years, whenever I would dream about drinking, whenever alcohol would be in my dreams, I would either be chasing the drink, I would be drinking the drink, or I'd be running from something bad that happened from that, from drinking. And that would be a constant thing that would happen to me. And anyways, I'm kind of a new person in recovery, and something amazing happened to me last week. I had a dream, and, you know, my friends were all drinking and having a good time, and it was for the first time in my life, in my dream, it did not faze me. I didn't want it. It was nonchalant to me in my dream, and I woke up, you know, just amazed that hadn't occurred. And I guess it's like a testimony, you know, I think only good and evil control your dreams. And I believe something good is working in my life.
Well, maybe, sir, your dream was an actual breakpoint for you. In other words, if you had that dream and alcohol was involved and you were not drawn to it as you always have been in the past, that could be a true turning point, I would think, in your life. And it could be, I don't want to diminish, you know, the dream in any way, but it could be a wonderful sign for you that you have mentally turned the corner. I don't know. That's just a wag, which some people refer to as a wild ass guess. Hello there on Dark Matter. You have achieved the air.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
Very well, sir. Thank you.
I'm a driver driving through Nebraska, and I want to say welcome to Sirius Radio. It's about time. It's been a long time.
Great to be here.
I got a story back in 2001. I used to deliver to stores at night, and we had to key to all the stores. And I had pulled around to a loading dock in the back of the store, and I got out of the truck, and I walked around to the front of the store. And the front of the store was open. The door was wide open. I guess the manager had gone home for the night and forgot to lock the door. And we were instructed, you know, to call the police because it happened now and again. And I went into the front of the store, and I went to the front desk. And I went to pick up the phone. Picked up the phone, and there was no dial tone at all. Nothing. And I knew there was another phone back in the loading dock, so I walked into the back loading dock, picked up that phone, and that phone was completely dead.
Huh.
I'm thinking, what the heck's going on? So I came up, back up to the front of the store, and, of course, it was one of those nights when you're scaring the crap out of all of us. And I went to the front desk again, and I picked the phone back up, and every line was busy. They had, I guess, 10 lines on that thing. Every line was lit up. Every line was busy. And I said, well, I've had enough. I went outside and got my cell phone and called in. But anyway, welcome back. Good to hear from you.
Well, thank you very much. Good to hear from you, and take care. Yeah, that's weird. Life is full of weird things that occur, and there simply is no explanation for. I know many of you, if not most of you, have had them occur to you. So I guess that's what makes programs like this, the fact that these things do occur. And there is no explanation, no logical explanation for them at all. Unlike most things that happen in life, every now and then one of these rolls into your life, and when it does, it stops you cold. This is Dark Matter, and you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, it's Roswells.
Thank you.
Yes, I was wondering if you would ever consider having Jim Mars or Eric Von Däniken on your show one night.
Jim Mars, he is still with us, right?
I believe so. I'm not sure. I just got finished reading his one of his books a couple of years ago. I'm not sure if he's still around, but I would think so.
Okay. Certainly, I've had Jim Mars on in the past. I don't know what his current status is, so all good suggestions.
Yes. Also, I'm just like an average guy. I've never experienced anything extraterrestrial, but my mind is open to it, and I would like for something like that to happen. Does it happen to, like, people, like, random people, or is it just they have to be somewhere at the right place at the right time?
Boy, I really hate to level an I don't know at you, but I don't know. I've had a few things in my life that have happened, not too many, really weird things, but I was unable to make them repeat. I was unable to control them when they occurred or anything. So they just happened. I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't have to be something extraterrestrial. It can be something. And I don't really want to go back and tell old stories, but I had a case of precognition that was without question. There was no question. Well, I will tell it. Otherwise, it sounds like baloney, you know, to a new listener. I was living in Santa Barbara, California. Here it comes very quickly. Living in Santa Barbara in a very nice apartment. And I had my car parked out in the street. I came home from work, sat on the couch, and was ready to watch, I believe, NBC News or the nightly news at that time, whatever it was. And I began watching. Curtains were closed. Couldn't see my car. But at the beginning of the newscast, as I was sitting down to watch it, I had this overwhelming, gigantic feeling that somebody's going to hit my car. It came to me almost like a giant crashing ocean wave. Somebody's going to hit your car. I said some bad words and got up. Walked across, opened the curtain, peeked out, looked at my car. It was fine. Sat back down to watch the news. Here it came again. Just like crashing ocean waves, somebody's going to hit your car. It was overwhelming. I couldn't ignore it. It was annoying. So I finally got back up again, went over, opened the curtains. And there's a guy walking down the, there was a little pathway. You know, we parked actually on the road there. And there was a little concrete pathway going toward the road. And here's a guy walking down a pathway. So I just stood there. As the news was beginning, I watched this guy walk down the path, got into the car in front of mine, started the engine, put it in reverse, hit my car. I fell to my knees, literally. Honestly, fell to my knees. I was so shocked. I had shivers going up my spine. I was on my knees. But alert enough, I finally got up, opened the sliding glass door and said, I saw that. He said, I'm stopping. And there was no big damage. I did a little dent. But, boy, was I freaked out. Now, that's a case of precognition. I had no way of understanding why it came. I didn't make it come. I couldn't make it go away. I couldn't make it happen again. It just happened. That's about the best I can do. That was my big precognitive experience. I don't know whether you've ever had one, but if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. This is Ben. I'm a truck driver.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, I'd like to tell you about my experiences.
Please do.
Well, I grew up in kind of a haunted house, you could say. It all started with things in my closet. I could hear something in my closet every night, and I know you said something about your closet, and I always kept my closet door open.
Why? I mean, whatever's in your closet, if there's something in there, keeping the closet door open is just an invitation for it to come and get you.
Well, it never would do. I never would hear anything in the closet if I had the closet door open. But every time I closed that closet door, I would hear something in there.
Oh.
And I could hear footsteps walking down the hall, and I'd open up the door, and there wouldn't be anybody there. And my little sister said people were talking to her, like in her room when nobody was there, just saying her name.
Right.
And it got to, I was actually physically assaulted one time.
Really?
I was in my room, and I stood up, and my head was slammed against my desk, like
5 or 6 times, just over and over, and I kept saying, what is going on? And stop. And next thing I know, I'm laying on the floor on my back, like it threw me on my back.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions for you. I mean, that's horrible, but did you if you're going to be manipulated in that way, you're going to have to feel a lot of force against your body. Was it like arms that were grabbing your body? Was it some sort of invisible force that was around you? In other words, physically, what did you feel?
I didn't. That's a very strange thing. I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any pressure against my head or just anywhere. I didn't feel anything. I thought I was doing it to myself, but, you know, I'm very consciously saying, what are you doing? Stop this. And next thing you know, I'm just thrown to the floor on my back and just in a daze. And
so you would have to say an invisible force.
Yeah, I mean, we had this ghost there. And everybody knew it, the neighbors, it was on a hill. All the neighbors told us when we moved in that the hill was haunted. People could see a woman standing in the window when no one was even there. My brother said he heard the shower running upstairs one time. He went up and he said, Mom, because she wasn't there. And he heard a very strange voice say, yes, honey. And he freaked out, knew it wasn't Mom, ran outside. Ran up the driveway, and like a few minutes later, my mom had pulled in, or was pulling in the driveway. And, you know, I would, like, wake up in the middle of the night, and every drawer and door in my bathroom would just be opening and slamming shut just violently.
Oh, brother. Oh, that'd be enough for me.
All at once. Yeah. we finally moved out of that place. But
finally moved out. Okay. Did you warn the people that were moving in?
No, they actually have it on the market right now, and so I don't even live there anymore in that town, but it was definitely a creepy place.
I appreciate the call, sir. How about the rest of you? Would you warn, if you were moving out of a haunted house, there are actually laws now, you know, that require you to notify somebody if a house is haunted. However, in real life, I would have to say to warn the person who would be buying the house that you've been trying to sell for some time, particularly in a market like this, would probably not be something you would do. So what would you do? Answer, you'd keep your mouth shut. If you wanted to sell your house, you'd keep your mouth shut. And this is how haunted houses are sold. Dark Matter, you are, wait a minute here, now you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Eric. This is William from Texas. First of all, are you still taking normal open calls, or is this time traveler time?
I am until the break.
Excellent.
And the break is coming up pretty soon, and then I'm not going to take normal calls. I'm going to take time traveler calls for a full break.
Okay, good. I've been away from my radio for a few minutes, didn't want to miss it. First of all, infinity to the power of Infinity Roswells to you. I've been listening to over 19 years, never called in until now. Art, I have a few thoughts regarding the Matthew Alper guest you had on your show a couple weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
You said during that show, it sparked a few ideas that I had that might explain something.
Sure.
So first of all, I hope to kind of explain a possible explanation of the near-death experience and the viewing of different deities during that experience. Not necessarily being a proof against God, as Matthew alluded to. So first of all, let's assume Matthew has some level of correctness. I'm kind of going fast through this because I know time's of the essence. So with the idea that there is a God part of the brain, let's just assume he's correct with that, a yearning to seek out a higher being that created you. So first of all, I'm not trying to explain the infiniteness of God by comparing him to a mere human being's logic, but this flow kind of helps me explain it and understand it with my feeble mind, actually what might be happening. So let's go with what I've read and heard others say many different times over the years, that there where they compare God to being like a computer programmer. Of course, many infinitely times more intelligent and powerful, but essentially you've got source code, and that would be DNA. Could it be explained by DNA? And of course, all programmers start with source code. They compile it. They have a final product that comes out. The program, if you will, the end result. In this case, it would be a human being based on God's source code. So next, let's consider some recent scientific results that kind of compare the universe as if it was a simulation in like the Matrix or a simulation inside a computer. So, again, back to thinking of this like a computer programmer. By the way, I can send you a lot of research on that. But now, if you think of God as a programmer, DNA being the source code, the compiled version being a human being, you could think of God giving you a brain, a device. Okay, and this device, this brain, allows you to think and so on and so forth, might very well also have a phone back home to your creator section. Of course, why not? Any good computer programmer or human engineer might build into any device he might make ways to communicate with it. The device might phone back home to home base, so to speak. Sure. Telecommunications equipment, etc. So, again, I'm not trying to equate God's infinite power to a mere mortal human engineer, but in this example, I'm kind of running through this where, for instance, prayer, meditation, that's where you come in, Art. You kind of made me think of this when you said the electromagnetic stimulation of the brain. You could kind of consider that as hacking the communication section of your brain, your device.
Right,
perhaps, again, like any hacker would hack an electronic device. And that would activate the typical near-death experience, the tunnel, the light, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Seeing the deity that you're individually familiar with, and that you've studied and learned about it and accepted all of your life. So, of course, the near-death experience occurs, real situations, an accident, you're very sick, so on and so forth. You've hacked the communication area of your brain with electromagnetic stimulation in the labs, for instance. It may not be your time, you come back, and so on and so forth. Now, the last part, back to the programmer analogy, if indeed this all happens to be true in some way, shape, or form, there's a dedicated part of the brain that attempts to fill in with a God concept. That's where the part where you consider it being filled in with a variable. Again, back to computer analogy and in a website, or you're filling in your first name or your last name. That little first name spot would be, in your case, Art. In my case, it would be William, and so on and so forth. So it's a conceptual variable. So you're activating that part of your brain. It's conceptual. You're seeing the visual deity that you're familiar with. It's filled with your particular deity that you've accepted. And that's what you're seeing, potentially. I mean, I'm just throwing this out there as a possible thought. And so essentially, that would prevent shock. You know, seeing something unfamiliar would be bad. And that all could be very well just part of the programming God gave you in your device when you're phoning home.
Okay. I appreciate it. So God as a master programmer, why not? The possibility that we're living in some sort of created universe, that we're living in a kind of a matrix. Science is looking at this genuinely hard right now. Did you know that? It's something we could have a lot of discussion about, because I don't rule it out. Do you? That we're all kind of walking around in a programmed world, that we're not seeing it all as it actually is, very much like the movie The Matrix. Science is trying to figure out, and I guess they have come up with a way to test whether, in fact, we're living in such a world. I don't reject the idea. Hard science doesn't reject the idea. Well, maybe some of it does. But it's definitely intriguing. And as this caller said, perhaps we do have that urge that was programmed into us by our Creator. Definite possibility. All right, listen, here's what I'm going to ask. I know it's hard, but I'm going to ask. Everybody hang up. Hang up now. I will open the lines after the next break, I promise, and you'll be able to call back in then. But for now, everybody hang up your phone, and the only people that I want to call are time travelers. Again, I know this is a very hard request to make, and in the future we'll solve it by having a special line or two. so that we can call it out for time travelers or whatever we want. But I would like to try it. So if everybody'd be kind enough to hang up and only time travelers call, we'll see if it works. We'll give it a try. So,
hi.
Hi.
This happened to me when, first of all, Roswell's in 51s.
Thank you.
This happened to me when I was in high school. I was walking down our main street, which at the time all the stores and stuff were closed. And I rounded a corner to go down an alley, and I realized that I had forgotten something. And when I came back through the alley, I felt this weird, like, tingling sensation. And then when I came back on the main street, all of the businesses looked brand new. And all the cars were like 40s cars. They had those interesting fins and all that.
Wow.
Yes. And as soon as I started getting scared, I felt that feeling again. And then suddenly I was back in my own time.
You popped back.
Yes.
So you had a little time shift, actually a big time shift, but for a small amount of time.
Yes, and this was back when I was in high school, around the high school age, so it was around 2001, 2002.
Is it the only time this has ever happened to you?
No, I've had situations where I've felt like I've gone back like an hour or two and on the same day. But it was never anything that big. And it really hasn't happened for a long time. But I don't know if that's considered time travel. It's not like I'm in a machine.
It absolutely is. It was involuntary and it happened for a short time, but it absolutely was time travel.
Right.
No question about that. That's amazing. Thank you very much for the call.
It was a real honor speaking to you, sir.
All right. Take care. That's a time shift, and albeit a short one, yes. And it's entirely possible that time travel is a function of our brain, that it can be done through our brain. Remember the island off Michigan? What a movie that was. Anyway, hello there. You're on Dark Matter.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I'm a time traveler, and I have a gift for everyone.
Okay. Can you tell us in what manner you travel in time or have traveled?
I've traveled in a spirit.
As a spirit. Okay. All right.
People call me Spirit Walker.
All right.
And I haven't done it in a long time. But the gift that I have for everybody that I've learned in my time travels is that if you take a solar cell, you know how everybody needs extra energy now. If you take a solar cell, and you bounce out, you make it as big as you want around, like a record player, and you spin that at 36,000 RPMs, the power would begin to suck into the cell instead of laying there lazily.
Wow. Let's roll over this again. You said a solar cell, you build a solar cell or a group of cells into
a round
affair.
Round shape, perfectly balanced.
Right. It would have to be at that, with that kind of revolution, 36,000
RPMs. That's
wow.
About the same speed as a router motor, you know, if you're using a router.
Right.
And you have to gear that up. And once you gear that up, the other half of that, now that will begin to suck the energy in to the cell. This will replace
wow.
all the reactors. And then, I don't know if you know, okay, the dark matter.
Man,
I've
got another question. A couple
to.
Of questions. Hold on. A couple of questions. How big is this thing that you built in diameter, let's say?
Okay, the one that I made was almost 3 feet in diameter. It was just an experimental.
Okay. All right, and you used what to turn it?
I used a router motor.
Router motor, okay.
Geared up. You have to turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off to get it to build up.
Okay.
Because if you just turned it on just flat out, it would burn out the motor.
Okay.
And you have to use parts from a generator where the energy goes through. You have to drill holes through the little deals in there to get the wires through so that when it spins, it still has the electricity to come out.
Like you really did build this. Do you have this diagrammed?
Yeah, I do. I was thinking about sending you my book because I'm getting older now, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with all my book because I have a book that's probably about 4 or 5 inches thick full of stuff that probably people should have.
Can I ask where you have traveled or when you have traveled?
I have traveled as far as back as to the Civil War. God showed me how war is hell.
Really? You went back to the Civil War. How about forward in time? Is that possible?
Forward in time. You can go forward in time, and I have gone forward in time.
Can you tell me how far?
I couldn't measure it because when I was traveling in time, it's just strange to explain it. I couldn't explain it.
Okay.
But I was able to bring back some technologies with me, and this is one of them. This is one of the technologies. I have a lot more, and I need to get them out, and I'd like to send them to you.
Yeah, I would like to receive them.
General delivery.
No, listen, can you, email's better, if you're able to do it. If not, there are people who send me things, sir, just addressed to Art Bell, Pahrump, Nevada. I don't know how they get to me. Somebody in the post office recognizes who I am and they get to me, but I think also sometimes they don't. So here's what I would say. Do you have access to email?
Oh, well, no, I don't. My son had it, but he's moving back to Nevada.
Okay. You said you're getting older now.
Yeah. I am old, but I'm also disabled. I've been through way more than anybody should be. And through all these adventures, and this has made me who I am today. I just know so much stuff.
I am so interested in time travel. You can try a general delivery to me, or just put Art Bell, Pahrump, Nevada, and hope for the best.
Okay, I'll do that.
I would really look forward to it. What's it like to travel into the past, into a time like the Civil War?
Well, first off, when you do this, you're automatically just sent there. Just like that, bam. And what it was like for me to see the Civil War, I was up in the air just above watching the battle, and I had one general on one side of me and another general on the other side of me, and they were just watching. And what it was really awful. The battle was terrible.
Most
so ever since I've seen that and witnessed and heard everybody screaming for their mother and father and
yes.
It's changed my life. I don't really believe in war anymore.
Yeah, most people who've been in it don't. All right, please give it a try. General delivery here, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very, very much. I'm sorry. I thought that was it. Fascinating. You know, that fellow sounded serious to me, and his device sounded serious, too. Hello, you're on Dark Matter.
Our time right now is a commodity that I'm not in possession of, but I may be brief, and I may not be as articulate as I'd like to be right now, but I would accept questions from you if I give you a brief introduction.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, Art, you had a guest on, I believe it was last night, and this is October 10th, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, his name was Hoag. I forget his first name.
No, Hoag was on earlier in the week. I believe it was Monday night was Hoag.
It was the gentleman speaking about Nostradamus.
That would be Monday night.
Okay, sir.
Today is Thursday.
Very well, very well. Well, sir, he had a certain thing to say about a certain economic collapse in 2016, and unfortunately that is the case. What people need to pay attention to is the year 2029. It's time is of the essence here. 2029 is what to look forward to. Not look forward to in the sense of optimism, or look forward to in the sense of prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for what is about to take hold of humanity as a whole.
You're telling me that you have traveled to that year?
I am technically within that. What you need to understand, Art, is that time is the most, it's an abstraction, Art. There's a human construct. All times are happening right now. Right now, I am 2009, 2029, and also 2013. So any questions that you may want to put my way, I would be able to answer. But I must say that I need to get this information out, because there's certain forces that just can just cut this off. Like it's
okay. You're telling us to look out for 2029. Why?
Look to the skies, Art. Look to the skies. There are certain astrological. There's an astrological momentum taking place right now, and it is of epic proportions. The Mayans were close to their predictions, but given their technology at the time, they were close, but they were off by a bit. And there's something going on here, Art. It's good and bad at the same time, Art. It is good and bad at the same time.
Can you be more specific? What's going to happen in 29?
All I can really say, Art, is look to the skies. It is an alignment, and it involves human consciousness. What you need to understand, look to, I believe, in the year 2013, a man, he's been on the History Channel that's been on the TV, that's broadcast to the televisions across the world. His name is John Anthony West. He does work with Egyptology.
I know him. I know him.
Have you had him on your show before, Art?
I have, yes.
I would greatly recommend having him on your show in the near future. He is.
All right. Well, I appreciate the suggestion for a guest, but if we're going to have time travelers and you're going to suggest a year to me and say, look to the sky, I want specifics. Hello, you're on the air.
Art.
Yes.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Awesome, man. This is Mike from Phoenix, otherwise known as iPokeSmart, and I run your parody Twitter account off on the Twitter space.
Are you a time traveler?
Yes, I am, sir. I remember one thing you mentioned on one of your previous shows. You had a dream where you experienced the life of other people, and I've had plenty of those. It's weird, you know. You go into the dream, and it's like.
To when have you time traveled, please?
In my dreams.
In your dreams.
Yes, sir.
So not in full waking life. You've never time traveled in waking life.
Well, that's a matter of perspective. But you know, like you said in your previous shows. You know, it's like you know who you are in like another person, another life. You know, you can name everything that happened. And, you know, I'm just wondering what else you have to say about that, you know, because...
What I have to say? Okay, well, I'm moving on because I'm looking for time travelers who are going to tell me things, not ask me things. You're on the air. This is Dark Matter. Hello.
Art Bell, Mega Roswell's to you. How are you tonight?
Oh, quite well, sir. Thank you. Are you a time traveler?
Well, I have a time-shifting experience for you that I'd like to share.
That'll work.
This was back on 11/11. Actually, I called and spoke to you a couple weeks ago about my little 11/11 adventure. But one of the things that we kind of came to this group of indigos that I went and I got to know really well, we all kind of reached a conclusion that we felt that the whole 2012 enigma was really that the nature of time itself was changing, and that it was being more fluidic and easily changed, just like pressure levels. Going down to Sedona, traveling there by car, it took me 17 hours. Coming back, it took 12. Same route, same speeds. So it was kind of a confirmation for me. One of the local Sedona people that I met actually gave me a branch that I put in the back seat to take home as a souvenir. And on the way back, that thing was just jittering in the back seat, just shaking. And I don't know if it was a flux capacitor or what, but there was some Sedona portal energy that followed me home that really did kind of reinforce that standpoint that the nature of time itself is changing, and we're going to be seeing a lot more of that. That it's a lot more fluid than people understand. So,
okay, all right. Thank you very much for the call, and take care. I'm not sure that qualifies, and I'm not sure it doesn't. You're on Dark Matter. Hello.
Hi, hey Art. It's a great show. I love it. I can't believe I'm calling, but I was in my late teens. I'm 45 now, and I'm on the subway, and I'm counting down the stops. You know, I'm paying attention. I'm getting off at the last stop in the line. And I just stopped paying attention for a little while, and then I looked up, and I had gone back like three or four stops, and I kind of sat up and looked at the map that was up there, and looked at the stops, and I went and counted through, and it was just an alarming feeling, you know. Did you feel anything different? I didn't notice that I had lost any time or anything like that. It's just I had gone back a couple stops and I kind of did a little reset, it seemed like. I never had an experience like that, and again, just
okay,
that's what
so happened. So there was no permanent shift. There was a temporary shift. You went bouncing back or something. Right.
No, like if it was supposed to say take me an hour to run the whole line, I think it took me an hour. Like I don't see that I lost or gained any time, but like right. I said, it's Toronto subway system. So I'm like going through the stops. Okay, Jane, Ossington, Old Mill, or whatever, and then you know went through three stops that I wasn't looking at, and then say I'm back like three or four stops, and then. Like kind of went through the stops again.
Okay, I think I've got it. But you were still in the same time frame, so it was sort of a mind trick. This is Dark Matter, and you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Art. Roswell. Name's John.
Thank you.
I had an unusual experience. It was like a waking dream. I, like you, have always been interested in time travel, and. Well, the way it went down was these fellows that I guess you could say they exist somewhere in between the universes, and they were explaining to me how the time travel actually works. And these guys are basically there to make sure that, you know, things go according to plan. And what they do is they will pull a certain individual from one universe and have them go to another universe to time travel. Because if you time travel in the universe you are from, it doesn't really work because you are altering your own timeline and then
right.
It's automatically reset.
Did you experience this yourself?
Yeah, they took me to some place. It was like, I don't know any other way to explain it. It was just like an energy, sort of like they had this white hair that sort of glowed. They looked like humans. And it was a white area, but you couldn't see anything past maybe like 20 or 30 yards. It was just like white.
Mm-hmm.
And they were explaining that if I was to time travel in my own universe, that anything that I would do would not really work out because I'm from that one. They would have to take somebody else from another universe and bring them here. And I guess these guys are in between, so they must be really old or not old at all. I don't know if time even works there, however it works. But, yeah, that was what it was. That was how it was explained to me.
Well, that's quite a thing to have to explain to anybody. And but again, getting back to this, you were elsewhere or elsewhen, I guess is the way to put it.
Yes, I have no idea how to explain where it was, other than the fact that it wasn't where I was prior
supposed
to that.
To be.
Yeah.
All right, got it. I think. Thank you. Thank you very much, and take care, time traveler. I hope you're a time traveler. Hello. Yes.
How are you tonight, sir?
Just fine.
I'm a trucker, and I have a bizarre situation that happened to me. I actually jumped forward in time almost an hour, and I have proof that it happened.
Okay.
I was coming out of Atlanta on a night run going to Miami. I come across the border into Florida, and I started getting some really bad tunnel vision, and I didn't know what. I thought maybe it was a medical issue or something was going bizarre with me, so I put the flashers on, geared her down, and got her off to the side of the road.
Right.
I felt okay, so I feel okay, let's head on down. So I get down to my drop down in Miami, and I'm almost an hour early. Now, this run normally takes me 10.5 hours to make the run.
I make
the same fuel stop every day going down and back. Well, I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't want to think nothing of it until I went to take down the information. I have a commercial GPS on my truck because I record my miles and fuel mileage and all that off it. I saved it on my GPS. This happened 72,207 miles ago, and it showed my average speed on the run 62 miles an hour, and I had a peak speed of 107.3 miles an hour on this truck.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I got a Cat C-15 in this truck, but there ain't no way this thing is going to do no 107 mile an hour. Now,
I got thinking
about it. With a GPS, it isn't registered speed by motion. It's by points off a satellite.
Yes, sir.
And I really believe that when I hit that tunnel vision, it threw me forward damn near an hour.
Wow.
And, I will never erase that. I have on my GPS forever. I got 3 different fields for route information. I look at that every night because I make the same run every night. And every time I get to the point where I had that tunnel vision, I get freaked out.
That's pretty convincing, actually. I really appreciate the story. And I do the same thing. I keep it forever.
All right, sir. If nothing else, it is a matrix, and I get one of those, deja vu moments.
I hear you. Quite a story. Thank you.
Have a good day.
And take care. Wow. Hi there. You're on the air. This is Dark Matter.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hey. Mega Roswell.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've been listening to you since 1996, 97, I guess.
Yes, sir. Are you a time traveler?
I would say I had a time travel experience, possibly. When I was in the Navy back in 92, I used to drive back to Maryland quite frequently from Norfolk. And I was around Waldorf, Maryland at the time, and I usually, where Highway 5 and 301 are run together, 301 splits off on a ramp and continues up. When I went off on that ramp, I continued up, and I should have hit a red light around Brandywine Road, and I was kind of confused there for a second. I came up on a house, and I was like, this is weird. I'm lost. This is weird. I figured I was in Waldorf, Maryland somewhere. I wasn't thinking, and I turned out, and I went to the end of that road, and at a stop sign, turned right, and I went down that road, and I was on US 1 around Dumfries, Virginia. So, if you do something there's a couple rivers, you got the Potomac River and all that, and I mean, that's about,
between the two, that's over an hour drive away. I was really confused for a little bit, and it took me a while to figure out where I was when I ended up on Highway 9, you know? I mean, on Highway 1, US 1, and ended up going home that way. I went over the Woodrow Wilson Bridge and everything, you know, going all the way back up to where I used to live in Maryland. So,
okay, well, you know, I don't know what to say about that except to accept the story and say thank you.
Yeah, I always wanted to tell you that story, so there you go.
you have done so. Thank you very much.
Going hello?
Once. Yes, hello. Hello.
How are you? Art, I'm so happy that you're back on the air.
Thank you.
I'm really excited that I got in, actually. I actually contacted you many years ago by email, and if don't say anything on the air, but you might remember, I asked you if you could help me find somebody in the Philippines. You responded something like, you know, there's so many million people in the Philippines, but thank you. And so we left it at that.
Yes.
I don't know if that rings any bells or not.
It does. I remember, yes.
Okay. I was in a situation where I was tortured back in the days. So I had started doing meditation maybe a year or two ago. I found this astral projection thing on YouTube. I started toying around with it, and I think this is time travel. I'm almost positive the year's 2050. Well, I know the year's 2050, and it's so cool. I can't see my, you know, when I put my hand out in front of me, I can't really see it, but it's almost translucent. But I was in a personal vehicle. Okay, for you stock people out there, it's called Personal Vehicle Technology Corporation. Buy that stock. I don't know when the company started, where I was at, there's no private vehicles. Everything is this personal vehicle transportation. And
you're saying this is in the future.
This is 2050.
2050 in the future.
The reason I was fortunate is because where I was in one of these little personal vehicle transportation devices, and there were two gentlemen in it, and they sat around a round table, you know, reading the paper, drinking coffee, and they had a little, you know, TV on. Everything.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I really want to ask, how did you get there or to that time?
I'm not really sure. It started with this astral projection stuff that I was listening to. I listened to it, you know, maybe a couple times a day.
And then you were actually physically in a different time, in a different place.
In this astral projection thing, it talks to you about, you know, what, you know, how do you want to feel about yourself, and where do you see yourself in the future? And that's kind of where I started getting into it as well. Where do I see myself down the road? And this is, it was so bizarre and yet so exciting. The reason I know quite a bit of information is because they had like a little these guys are obviously businessmen, but they had like a little monitor, and you know, the best I could correlate it to is, you know, they have like the Fox Business News in the morning. And so I was getting a lot of information there, and that was one of the things that I saw was this personal vehicle thing.
All right. Well, that's quite a tip. You know, if it's true, that's quite a tip.
Hey, I thank you a lot. And the other thing too, I'm going to try and do while the show is on tonight. The only big problem that I found was that the air seemed to be really hard for me to breathe, so I couldn't. I wasn't able to stay there very long, and maybe it was just that I was freaking out. But I'm going to try and right there where you're sitting. By the way, I think you have, it's either an old shirt or a stained shirt, but I'm going to try.
Stained. I always spill coffee on myself.
I am going to try and
move a paper or tip something over in the next hour. And if it works,
don't
if it works,
tip anything
help.
Over. I do okay, that on my own. All right, I'll look for it.
Well, if
I'll
it happens, if it happens, let people know.
It's your fault. That's what it'll be. Your fault. All right. Thank you very much. 2050, huh? Wow. Well, one thing I'll say about that guy is if you're going to be time traveling and you're going to the future, the business network, Fox or otherwise, would definitely be what you'd want to watch. Personal vehicle, personal transportation thing tip. Buy the stock now. Hi there. You're on the air. This is Dark Matter.
Mr. Bell, Mega Roswell, see you, sir.
Thank you.
Look, I just want that trucker from Georgia to know he's not alone. I'm a trucker as well, and the company I work for, we deliver for a large retail chain. I'm not going to say the trucking company. I'm not going to say what the retail chain is.
Yes, sir.
But we deliver grocery goods overnight, and normally I do between one and two runs a night. Mm-hmm. Well, this past February, I finished my second run, and I still had about 4.5 hours left on my DOT clock. And they said, here, you've got to take this one down to Camden and Dover, Delaware. And I remember I said to my supervisor, I said, there's no way I'm going to make it. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, because it had to be, this was at 3 a.m. They hand me the paperwork and tell me it has to be there by 5.
Huh.
We all knew it was not going to happen.
Right.
We're located in central Pennsylvania. There's no possible way for it to happen. So, but I took the run. I figured, okay, better late than never. At least they'll have their products.
Right.
Started my run, and the one thing I noticed was I could not get warm. I had the heater blaring in the truck. My whole body just tingled, and it was a weird feeling. And the other thing I noticed, there's a couple other things I noticed, was there was no other traffic on the road, which is weird because I had to take the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and normally that's jammed around Philadelphia.
Well,
around
of course,
the time
I would say that's really weird, yes.
And the other thing was, my truck's governed at 61.5 miles an hour, and normally I can feel it get up on the turbo and start pulling.
Right.
It would not do that to save my life. I mean, I'm calling this truck everything but the color it is, you know, and cursing it out. Anyways, I get to the stop in Camden that I've got to be there by 5, hit the dock, pull the brakes, send my arrived call into my dispatcher. Not even 30 seconds later, my cell phone's going off, and he's cursing me out. Would you quit screwing around? And he stopped himself in mid-sentence. He was about to tell me, get going and get there. He goes, how the hell did you get there on time? I go,
oh, my God.
I told him, I said, dude, I don't know what's going on. It's my GPS has got to be screwed up because it's saying it's only 4:30. There's no possible way it's 4:30. He goes, dude, it's 4:30. I mean, I was completely shocked. I don't know
yes.
how I made it from Hazleton, Pennsylvania to Camden, Delaware in, you know, less than an hour and a half. I don't know how it happened. And then I haven't had it happen since. But the other bizarre part was I parked at my Dover stop, which was right up the road. And later that day, actually, just as soon as my head hit the pillow, my cell phone went off again. And it was my aunt telling me that my father had passed.
Wow.
So I don't know if it was dad helping me out or what, but I mean, it was the most bizarre feeling I've ever had. And it's kind of an eerie feeling every time I have to make the Camden run now.
I so totally hear you, buddy. Thank you for the story. The impossible, right? The impossible. And yet it happened. People have these things in their life, and they do happen. I know. I had one. So did he. Hello. You're on Dark Matter. Good evening.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, I have like a time skip over story. Okay, I walked to work. Sorry, go ahead.
That's right. No. Go.
Okay. I walked to work every day. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was walking to work, and I had just gotten ready for work and everything, and I started walking. I checked my clock. It says that I get there an hour early all the time, have my coffee or whatever.
Right.
And I'm walking at 7:30. Well, I'm supposed to be there at 9. Well, I'm like, okay. I look at the clock, and I'm walking to get there. It only takes about 15 minutes or so. Okay. So I get there, and everybody's like, you're late. And I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? I look at the clock, and it's 9 o'clock. Somehow I skipped over that hour somewhere.
Wow.
And I have no idea how that happened.
You didn't? I mean, you were walking?
Yeah, yes. I was walking.
And you skipped an hour?
Somehow I lost an hour. It was like 9 o'clock, and I should have gotten there at 8.
Boy, that's weird.
Yeah, very bizarre.
You're obviously not the only one.
I know, right? So, and everybody's like, well, thank you.
Right, thank you. Not the only one. Obviously, a lot of that's going on out there, a lot of this skipping or missing. And that certainly is time movement, isn't it? Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art Bell, Mecca Roswell.
Thank you.
I have been waiting for years to thank you.
For a minute there, I thought you were Edna.
No, I'm sorry. Everybody says I'm everybody else, but last I checked, my name is Shirley. I'm a truck driver, and back in 89, when you were still back on AM radio, and I had to hunt from station to station.
Right.
Well, I was in Ohio. It's 55-mile-an-hour speed limit for trucks. I had lost you, and I was trying to find you. And I looked in my mirror, and blue. I got pulled over. The cop says, what were you doing? I said, I lost Art Bell. I'm trying to listen to him. He says, oh, my God, my grandmother loves you. And he says, come back to my squad car, and we'll find it. So we went back to the squad car, and he found it. And gave me the channel to look for, and I said, okay, well, give me the ticket. He says, I can't get you a ticket. He says, my grandmother would kill me if I got myself in trouble.
That's funny.
So
that's
I
really
just wanted
funny.
To tell you, I'm so glad you're on Sirius, because now I can listen to you, and I don't have to hunt for you anymore.
That's right. One channel, coast to coast, baby.
And let me tell you, it is programmed on it, and thank you for being the best of the best of the best.
That's very kind. Thank you so much. What a nice story. And then he did not give her the ticket. You know, I went to visit Bob Crane. I've got to tell you this little story. This is one where I did get the ticket. I went to visit Bob Crane before I came on the air. We were going to go have a little vacation, right? So we packed the family in the car, and off we go to Northern California. And I had been driving for, I'm going to guess, 13, 14 hours, somewhere in there. And I was really tired, but it was late. It was dark. We were within a couple hours of Bob's house. So I pulled over into a rest area. And we had some coffee. I got out of the car, walked around a little bit. This is getting up into, you know, solid redwood country up there, the big trees. And so got back in the car from the rest area. The sign at the end of the rest area said 7% grade. So I was just had put the seatbelt on. We were driving. We started down the hill, and I was getting organized as we went down the hill. Well, you know, I've got a nice new car, and it's supposed to be a controlled speed, but it's not. At least not when you're on a 7% grade. So down we go. By the time I'm nearing the bottom of the hill, I see the lights behind me. Pulls me over. And, oh, baby, I got a ticket. I sure got a ticket. Now, he didn't write it for as fast as I was actually going, but I thought, you know, it just doesn't seem right. I mean, here I am coming out of, I've been driving a long time, coming out of a rest area, hit a 7% grade. My car doesn't hold speed on a 7% grade. It lets go, which it did. I deserve the ticket. But Asia, sitting in the back seat in her little chair, just couldn't resist. Daddy got a ticket. Daddy got a ticket. She was so happy to see the cop. Daddy got a ticket. You're on the air. It's Dark Matter. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey there.
How are you?
Surviving.
I'm glad to hear it. My name's Kristen, and I'm calling from, I don't even know, my husband and I are on a cross-country trip, and we're due north of Elko right now, going cross-country.
All right, watch your speed.
Yeah, Gordon Lightfoot, baby, it's all right. That was a good one.
Yes, indeed.
I'm with you on the music. Hey, I was calling to, I wanted to share an experience that my husband and I had and get your take on it.
Yes, ma'am.
This happened about a year and a half ago, and there's, excuse me, out in San Bernardino County, there's a place where we go, and it's in the mountains there. We gather medicine, or, you know, gather some things that we need for ceremonial purposes. And on the road where we go to do this, the layout of the land is kind of significant, so let me explain it to you briefly. It's a wide open road, and it's a dead end at one. You can see in either direction from the hill. You take a dirt road, like a T-shaped, to go up. We walk up this dirt path up the hill to where we go to gather the stuff. And we're up there picking the medicine, and my husband and the dog are on one side. I'm on the other side, and my bag gets full, and so I go back down the dirt road down to where our van is parked on the main street. Right. And just before I get there, and mind you, you can see in either direction.
Right. Where'd you go? Oh. Oh, what a shame. We lost her. That's the nature of cell phones, I'm sorry to say. You're on the air. This is Dark Matter. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Oh, my. This is Marianne calling from Blairstown, New Jersey.
Welcome.
The Roswell view.
Thank you.
I had a question about my cats. I have two lovely cats who are both Geminis. And they're large Maine coon cats. And I asked George Norrie about this recently, and he didn't know anything. And I said, I want to find an astrologer who can do a reading for my cats. And he
didn't
know.
Well, George, I think he does know some astrologers, actually.
He didn't sound like he knew much.
Maine Coons, that's what my my Yeti is, a Maine Coon cat. But I don't know. I can't know whether he's a you know, whether he's a Gemini or not. He just bounded into our yard one day, so I don't know his actual month of birth. But I know Geminis are trouble. I know that because I'm one of them. sometimes you just have to keep your mouth shut. Hi there.
Hi, Art. This is Kristen. We got cut off in the midst of my story.
We sure did.
Would you like to hear the rest of it?
I would. Please proceed.
Okay, so I'm at the part. I gathered medicine. My bag is full. I walk back down to where the van was. A car appears out of nowhere right behind our van, and it's a red car. There's no distinguishing logos or anything. I've never seen a car like it, but it's rather sporty looking. But when
okay,
real quick,
let's finish up.
Okay, so the car appears out of nowhere, spins around, goes around the van. I get a little nervous. I start walking up the hill to my husband. He comes back down to me, and this man gets out of the car, and he's honking, 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 starts to walk up the hill. A very odd feeling. It was just really odd. My husband and I go back down the hill towards the van, and he just disappears. Gone. Both of us were right there. Yeah, the car, the man, everything. Just gone. There was nothing.
In front of your eyes?
In front of our eyes. My husband was there, too.
Oh, all right. Thank you. That's a good one. I have never seen anything or anybody just disappear. That's a pretty good one. Thank you. I'm glad you got to finish the story. That was lucky indeed. Hi there. This is Dark Matter, and you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hey, yes.
This is Ron Man, trucking across Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
I was curious, do you think you'd ever do another show on the feral humans?
Oh, sure. That was a fascinating topic.
Oh, I've never heard another show on it. That was had to be back in, what, the late 90s, maybe? Something like
that.
Oh,
that's right. And you know the reason I did it? I found somebody because there was a movie about feral humans, and I found it really fascinating that in this, even this modern day and age, actually, America's a lot bigger than you think it is. There's a lot of wild areas. Could a feral
exactly.
human exist? Yes, they could, and they have.
Yes. I was talking to someone today about that very thing, about how much wide open space, even here in Tennessee, people think it's all populated. But
no.
But best I remember, wasn't that up around the Red River Gorge area of Kentucky? So it's not
it
far
was.
From here anyway.
It was, sir. Yes. Thank you very much. I've got to run. I've got to do a break now. If I don't do a break, we're going to be at the end of the show. So, yes, the answer to that is yes. If I find the opportunity to do a show on feral humans.
Commander Roswell, Steve.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say welcome back and thank you for all the years you kept me going as a law enforcement officer at night. And I did pull over a car once and gave her a warning because she was listening to your show.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did. But the reason I called is there any more place where I could find information on one of my favorite guests, that Father Malachi Martin?
Father Martin has passed away.
Yes, I know, but didn't he write some books?
Oh, yes. Yes, just Google him. Trust me, Google him on, where else? Google. And you'll find lots of information on Father Martin. You're on the air, Dark Matter. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Art?
Just fine.
Good. I'm calling from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, a tasty Canadian.
All right.
I've got a story for you. I don't know what it is. Time travel, space travel, I don't know.
Okay.
My friend lives 400 miles away from me. She's a girl, but we're just friends. Nothing romantic.
Uh-huh.
I was at home, and I had a couple glasses of wine, and I actually fell asleep on my couch watching a football game, college football game. So I wake up at 2:30 because the dog jumped on me and, you know, wanted to go outside to do her business. So I did that and went to bed. I get a phone call about 7 o'clock in the morning from my friend Rhonda, and she says to me, "Why did you leave without telling me you were going?"
Whoa.
And I said, "What are you talking about?" She says, "Well, you were here last night, remember?" And I go, "What?" She said, I was sitting in my kitchen crying because her and her boyfriend, she had told me, had broken up, and you spent the night comforting me. And I said, "Rhonda, I'm at home. I'm 400 miles away."
Right.
She said, No. You're pulling my leg. She said, "Now I'm mad at you because now you're telling me, you know, you don't believe me and you were here." Anyway, she moved back to my home city.
Yes.
And get this. I walked into her house to help her move and pack and everything. And when I stepped into her house and I had never been there before, it was like, oh my God, I've been here before. And every hair on my body, it was like somebody dumped cold water on me. And I looked and I said, "I've been here before."
I've heard college football has a strange effect on people, but that's over the top, all right. So, in other words, when you thought you were asleep on that couch, you were actually comforting her.
Yes.
How far away?
400 miles.
400.
And get this. She even said to me, she said, don't you remember about 2:30 you had to take Jesse out for her pee?
Yay.
Now, I don't know what that, I don't know if that's a ghost story or time travel. And Rhonda and I have talked about this ever since. And it's like we can't talk about it because it both sends shivers up our spine.
I hear you. I don't know what you would call that either, but worthy of being told here on Dark Matter. That's for darn sure.
Well, thank you very much, Art, for listening to me and Mega Roswell.
Take care, my friend. That is wild. Dark Matter, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Did you realize that they have been able to levitate frogs using 16 Tesla units of electromagnetic energy?
They've been able to levitate what? Dogs?
Frogs.
Frogs. Oh, yeah. I've seen frogs levitate.
That just blew me away, and it made me think of Maurice Cotterell. I'd really like to see you get him on again.
That'd be fun. Yes, I've seen frogs levitate. It's an amazing thing to see, isn't it?
I want to take a ride.
I take rides every night, my friend.
I've got a question about your antenna.
Okay, real quick.
Is it possible that the flow of magnetic energy over the Earth, over such a large conductor as the antenna that you have, generates electricity via the laws of Faraday's laws?
Of course it's possible. I would like some precise measurements made. I'd like to know more about it, whether it could be utilized, whether I could, you know, charge with it, whether I could do something productive with it. I really want the answers myself.
Awesome. First time, long time. Have a good night, man.
You too, my friend. Take care, and I think we'll do a wrap on this week at that point, or at this point. It's been a blast, everybody. Open lines always are. You just simply never, ever know what to expect.
In the desert.
Not when it's midnight in the desert. You all have a good night, have a good weekend, and remember, there are replays that go on during the days that I'm gone. Two shows, in fact, every night. We'll sort of mix it up a little for you. So there you have it. Have a good weekend. Well, I can't say that, can I? I'll have a good weekend. If you work tomorrow, you have a great day and then a good weekend. Good night, everybody.
Are we running out of time?